Tomorrow's News Today.
Well, exactly what I predicted in the last few years, and intensely the last year since Trump was president-elect. It's been a year now. Exactly as I predicted, the Democrats with some Republicans have begun to release select cherry-picked stuff out of what they call the Epstein files. And I know all of it up one side and down the other, predicted all of it, so did Roger Stone. It's exactly what we thought. Now, they're set in a few days to release all of them in Congress. They're a little behind blacking out, you know, names and things, which they better do, of victims. But they released their best shot last night, and it's all over the news, and it is beyond a nothing burger. That said, I am not in the business of being an apologist for Donald Trump or covering up anything. I simply call balls and strikes. The way the Trump administration has handled the Epstein case has been an unmitigated disaster. If you wanted to create the biggest Streisand effect and look guilty, you couldn't do a better job. That said, I know this thing up one side and down the other. I'm interviewed all the experts. I've got every damn angle of this thing. You have all the victims saying he never touched him. He's the guy that blew the whistle on Epstein on record. And I have all the videos, all the clips, the police, all the admissions, the lawyers, the women. I could do 4 hours with just the women. 99% of them saying they never saw Trump. Two of them saw Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Trump got in his face, kicked him out of the club because he was recruiting the 15-year-old girls out of there. And then, oh, in the upcoming emails, it's going to be him in Florida, on two occasions, visiting houses. It's already on record. They were fighting over houses they were buying. That's what Trump does. And that's when Epstein got pissed because Trump snuck behind him and, you know, snatched up a house. That's what Trump does, is run around and look at construction sites and buildings. He's obsessed with it. Have you seen him at the White House and other places and going over to see the Federal Reserve remodel and running over to see this remodel? And he's obsessed with it. It's what he's been doing since he was 2 years old. It's like a bloodhound, you know, that gets a scent, or a bird dog that points where the quail are at in the bushes. So it's like, oh, he went and looked at two properties with him. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, And it's just wild. And the fact that they released this, and I'm already telling you what the other stuff's going to be, which they haven't even gotten to yet, I just know, shows there's nothing there. But then, my dear Watson, I asked the question, why in Hades, why in hell and tarnation has there been a big cover-up? Well, we know why. Because it's a bunch of big CEOs and a bunch of big heads of banks. They're mainly Democrats. But Ratcliffe has come to Trump, and I was told this when he was president-elect from Roger and other people, that you're not going to get it because the CIA says it's a national security threat because they were working with the Mossad. And look, we already know all that. So Trump is not involved screwing the girls. And he was not involved in any cover-up ever and was really the first to expose Epstein. That's why I ended up, you know, getting that jail sentence in Florida. And we knew this when I was vetting Trump 10 years ago before I endorsed him, 10 and a half years ago. God, it's been that long. I went to the books on the subject, the experts on it, read what Trump's enemies had said, read what the New York Times had said, and there was never anything there. So I'm like, okay, he's good. And that's how much due diligence I do, not just on that other subjects, before I endorsed Trump, remember, early. And I knew how he was pro-America and his past and his dad, and that he sat at the knee of, you know, the architect of the McCarthy stuff. So I knew he knew a lot, and I endorsed him. And we're going to go over it all today and so much more. We have special guests lined up. I'll tell you about those when we come back. But you're definitely going to hear this information. I've got the receipts right here. And then so much more. So much more. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
It is Wednesday, November 12th. 2025, I am your embattled, battle-scarred, battle-hardened host and chronicler, Alex Jones, as we enter the 296th day of the return of the American Republic. I am honored to be here and extremely humbled by your focus, your attention, and your support and joining me in our shared quest to save humanity and crush the satanic, transhumanist, New World Order, globalist, world government system. All right. At the bottom of the hour, I am going to address, Jeffrey Epstein alleged emails that Trump knew of his conduct. Epstein emails claim Trump knew about the girl, spent hours with the victim. And we've got the emails, and we're going to go over all of it. And it just so happens that this is not easily disproven, what they're trying to imply. It's absolutely, pathetically easy. Because we know every angle of this from the victims, from their lawyers, from everything. And then when you see how, what they imply, spent hours with the victims, knew, and called the police and kicked him out of the club because the two victims worked at Mar-a-Lago. And he got pissed because Epstein was poaching him. And when you actually read all the quotes, Epstein tells Wolf that's trying to write the hit piece, no, he's the one to drop the dime on me, no. Yeah, he knew about it, and he was upset, and his wife was upset. Oh, we learned Melania was pissed. I mean, imagine you live somewhere with your wife and a bunch of other people at a resort. You know, it's like the Love Boat or something. I mean, you see what these dudes are doing, and, you know, Mama Bear's like, And so never went to Zorro Ranch, never went to the Caribbean, none of it, like Bill Clinton and all the rest of them. That said, though, Trump has been covering up for the bad guys. There's no doubt about that. Now, obviously, most of the real stuff's been destroyed and disappeared by the Democrats and Comey and all them that control the file, and we have a big developments on that front. It's come out in court that Maureen Comey, the daughter that ran the Epstein cover-up in the Southern District of New York, she came to Epstein and said, we'll drop the new charges, just say you saw Trump screw girls. But it didn't happen. It wasn't real. So that's where we are. And so when you hear the file, the list, there's all sorts of court cases, all sorts of lawsuits, terabytes of videos that have been disappeared. They've changed their story. There's definitely a cover-up. I'll get to it coming up, bottom of the hour. But something I like to do is remind people of things that they may have forgotten about or may have never known. And that goes to the heart of this shutdown and the Democrats throwing gigantic temper tantrums. I could fill the entire four-hour show today with almost all of them, except a few like Fetterman, literally throwing fits, cussing, screaming fits, and spewing insane lies. Why? We need our free health care. We need our Obamacare. Obamacare, on average, since it passed, was it 15 years ago, whatever, has tripled prices. It was written by the insurance companies to at least double prices. The main architect of it, we'll play clips of him bragging about it, wrote it with the insurance companies and came and trained the Democrats and Obama how to lie. Remember Obama? You can keep your health care plan and it won't go up. And Obamacare will cut your medical prices to the cost of cable, $100 a month. What? And I remember right after it passed and became law, took about a year to kick in. I don't go to the doctor a lot, but, you know, I go get a checkup once a year. I like to go normally just to clinics. There's the one I've been going to forever in South Austin called Victory Clinic. Know the owner of it, great people, you know, great doctors, nurses, all of it. Gets you in quick, great service. And I've gone in there when I've had like an infection where my leg got cut. It was really bad. And, you know, I've got a cold, sore throat, whatever. That's where I go. And then I got my regular doctor for checkups and stuff once a year. But also have children. And they were little then. So a lot of times I wouldn't take them to the pediatrician. If it was a weekend, I'd take them to Victory Clinic. So I was in there a lot, you know, the winter, kids get sick. And I remember sitting there when you're waiting, sometimes 30 minutes, an hour, once like 2 hours, they're really busy. And I watched man after man, woman after woman, multiple times. So I'm sitting on the couch, you know, right by the counter. And they go up and they go, well, I don't understand. Because it also has a pharmacy at this particular location. And I sat there at the pharmacy counter at this counter watching, and these people go, I'm on a fixed income. A lot of them are older women. I saw a couple old black woman broke down crying, and she was really crying. Because she goes, this medication saved my life. I absolutely have to have it, blah, blah, blah. And she says, it's three times more. And they do a printout for her, and they go, we're sorry. It's Obamacare. It's not us. And she turns around and she goes, I don't have the money. She's like, Obama lied to me. I mean, I'm watching Obama literally strangle this black woman in front of me financially. And it's just, I'm sick of it. But that's everything about these people is how can they screw you? How can they hurt you? With these filthy corporations. So, yeah, you know, you got the Mangione guy going and killing the healthcare executive. And I'm going to say that's a good thing. You have something like 85% of Democrats in polls or higher think he's a hero, and they've got bills passing in California with his name on it. So they want to, I mean, they have people go into Walgreens and just shoot random people because they think that the pharmacist is the one ripping them off. It's like when Biden said, you know why the gas prices are up? It's because the gas stations are gouging you. Anybody that knows business and retail, you can look this up, knows that most gas stations lose money on gas, a little. Some are able to make a little if they're competitive. All the money is on the Gatorade and the Snickers bars and the coffee and the nachos and the cigarettes and the lottery tickets. The price of gas has basically nothing to do with the retail place you get it. Reverse, the price of beef has almost nothing to do with the ranchers. I'm an expert, my family are. Been ranchers since they invented barbed wire. Before that, you're free rangers, and they were that. Drove their herds from Tennessee and Alabama on my dad's side, on his mom's side, in the 1820s. Oh, yeah. Brought the cows with them. and bought the land from the Mexican government. But the point is I know all about it. But you see the left, blim damn farmers and ranchers, they're the ones ripping us off because you people are stupid. So you, Mangione goes and kills a healthcare executive. They're definitely corrupt and part of it and all of that, but you know, he still is down the food chain from the owners of these big companies. And big pharma insurance companies of all, the big ones have all merged. That's how they scam you. It's like, wow, this drug's $3,000. Yeah, because the insurance company, you didn't know the insurance company owns the pharmaceutical company or vice versa? Yeah. But see, they don't ever want to actually get out of a scam. They like to be scammed. They like to be hurt. And you're like, why are you going into Obamacare right now? Well, that's what this whole shutdown's about. Is we're not going to pay hundreds of billions of dollars, over $150 million for illegal aliens to get health care, and a couple hundred billion more, was it 200 something billion a year subsidy to the insurance companies who are making money hand over fist at every level. It's criminal. They're a cartel. They own most of the big medical centers. They own and control the university chairs and systems that fund the research and create the regulations. And the policy, they are all merged together, interlocking directorates, corporate with the drug makers, all of it. So, yeah, there's a federal law that insurance companies have to put 80% of any money paid into them has to be paid out in premiums, but that's on the insurance. They're really drug companies and device companies and hospital companies. And they're extremely predatory. And they give 80% of their money, look it up, to Democrats everywhere because they'll screw you hard. And Trump's really been trying to fix this. So when you hear all this shutdown stuff and they're so pissed and they're so angry, understand that it was written to screw you. And the Obamacare architect, Jonathan Gruber, is so arrogant, he famously, what, like 4 or 5 years after they passed Obamacare, went on a university tour, and he was there speaking to the university faculties at 2 different speeches. He also went on to, he said, yeah, I came in and taught Obama and the insurance companies how to lie and how to deceive the public. And he goes, and then they'll make huge profits, and then it'll wreck the system within 15 to 20 years, and then we're going to go to single payer, and it'll be socialized, but the insurance companies will have guaranteed profit. It's more of a fascist model where they have guaranteed profits, but we call it communism. And there are these different clips. And I just told them, go look up Jonathan Gruber. I don't know which one they found. There's a bunch of them. Just look it up yourself. And it shows the university, you know, all these gray-haired faculty going, yeah. And they've got PhD students in there, and they're just celebrating. Yeah, there's so many videos of him going around and training how to lie. I've never even seen this one. The really bad one is it's like on C-SPAN, and he's up on a stage. I almost has like a blue-gray background. I've never even seen this one. The point is, he runs around everywhere bragging how he F's everybody. And I sat there. When Obamacare kicked in, because, you know, by then, a few years later, people figured it out. I stopped seeing the weeping and wailing. But, man, for the first year it came in, the time I was at the doctor, myself and my kids, probably 5-6 times, I would just, people were like, what? My bills double? My bills triple? What? What are you doing? And they were like, we're sorry, it's not us. They had, like, printouts saying, see right here on the bill. They'd turn the computer around. See right here? It actually said Affordable Care Act. Kicking you off your old insurance for all the smaller companies that weren't, you know, as bad or corrupt in some cases. Making you get health care, even though it's way cheaper just to save money to yourself. And you wonder why there's all this inflation in the market and why it's the worst area of inflation. So that's the reality. And so I have to sit there and be lectured by leftists on the street and on TV and the professors. We want to kill people. We want to starve people. Oh my God. We need single payer. We need national health care. When as bad as ours is, Canada, the UK, everybody knows it's way worse. And they're going to wreck it even worse. And Trump's trying to fix it. And he said it's so horrible and so screwed up, he doesn't even know what to do. All he can do is make these companies do things like, we're 4% of the world population. We pay 76% of world health care costs. And so Trump's been using tariff laws through the World Economic Forum against Big Pharma. That's why they come up to the podiums and act like they're agreeing, but he actually put them over his knee. You think they're happy about that? No, that's why the Ozempic director literally collapsed when he's nodding his head. Yes, sir, we'll cut the price in half. Yes, sir. Oh, hundreds of billions of dollars Trump was taking away from him. And, of course, then it doesn't even matter because this stuff's pure poison, but you get where I'm going with this. So I got the Gruber clips coming up. There's so many. But it's your own adventure. Go watch him make fun of you. You know who his buddy was? The co-author of it? Oh, he's planning to run for president against Newsom. His name's Rahm Emanuel. He was heavily involved with his brother. It was like the co-chair, him and his brother, Ezekiel Emanuel. Very, very nice people. So here's a short compilation of late-night establishment mouthpieces that read off teleprompters, but the Democrats load up for them. Literally, they get the talking points to their writers. That's on record. Flipping out over this and mad at Chuckie Schumer because he couldn't somehow control the other Democrats that didn't want to commit political suicide with their constituencies, because the public's figured this out now. It's taken a long time. But Obamacare is like being raped with a cactus. Here it is.
So yes, the shutdown may have been long and painful for millions of Americans, but at least it achieved jack squat. That is, and we know why Jack is squatting. But these Democratic defectors did get one concession. Senate Majority Leader John Thune promised them a vote on the ACA in December, because that's when people get down to serious work. December. You work about 6 days, and half of that is spent doing a mandatory office door decorating contest. Welcome to accounting, or should I say, the Polar Express. Now you got hot chocolate. No surprise, the vast majority of Democrats do not want this. None of those 8 Senate Democrats are up for re-election next year, and 2 have announced they are retiring from the Senate. What a disappointing way to end your career. Reminds me of when Journey released their last single, We Stopped Believing. Did they? I don't know. That's it. One of the Democrats who crumbled like a granola bar in your backpack is New Hampshire Senator and the Joker's proud aunt, Jean Shaheen. Shaheen was asked about her decision, and she said, when I talk to my constituents in New Hampshire, you know what they say to me? Are we Vermont or the other one? Are we? Which one? One of us is... We're up. Are they upside down us, or are we upside down them? She continued, they say, why can't you all just work together to address the problems that are facing this country? Because the country is being run by insane people.
Here in the present, we are on day 41 of the Trump government shutdown. Democrats refuse to sign on to a bill that would force millions of Americans off their health care and make it much more expensive for those who can't afford health care. So Democrats drew a line in the sand. They said, we are not going over this. And today, after 41 days, they pulled out a shovel and a bucket, and they ate all that sand and got nothing for it. Isn't that great? You know what they got? They got a promise from Republicans in the Senate to hold a vote on health care sometime in the future. And if there's one thing we know about Trump and his merry band of sycophants, it's that their word is as good as gold. I mean, it is incredible at his age that Chuck Schumer is still able to bend over so far. Chuck Schumer is basically every parent who tells their kid, no more iPad, that's it. Next thing you know, he's playing Roblox at the dinner table. This was such a big cave by the Democrats, Bruce Wayne offered to buy it. Dick Durbin, the Democrat, told Senate Majority Leader John Thune that he was, quote, counting on him to keep his word on this agreement. He said he assured me he would, which is exactly what Lucy said to Charlie Brown with the football.
I cannot f***ing believe it! You had the wind at your back. Election victories all over the country. The new Sydney Sweeney movie, Box Office Bupkis. Apparently, her new MAGA fan base didn't show up in droves to see a biopic about a lesbian professional boxer who overcomes domestic violence to live her truth. Who could have seen that coming? Democrats, you sold out the entire shutdown not to get what you wanted, but for a promise to not get what you wanted.
Let's just stop here. What? And then I've got Democrat senators, others flipping out, Congress people, and we'll play some more later. But here's the thing. These are quotes by Gruber, and the crew found like hours of it, okay? But you can go pull these articles up. You can, they've got the videos in them. Obamacare architect confirms Obamacare deceit. Jonathan Gruber, the architect under Obama. And then look at these quotes. ACA architect, the stupidity of the American voter led us to hire Obamacare's true, sorry, I'm reading it wrong. It's so hard to read, this makes me mad. ACA architect, the stupidity of the American voter led us to hide Obamacare's true cost from the public. And then he goes up in front of MIT and everywhere else and brags and they laugh talking about screwing us. And that's exactly what those comedians are doing. When they're like, look at this senator, this Democrat. She went back and said it's what her constituents wanted to open the government again. And then he makes fun of people in those states. That is the open disdain of this corrupt elite that wants to rip you off. Trump's trying to reform it. The costs go up and up and up. On average, it's triple what it was written to screw you. Because I have Republican pundits going, you know, Obamacare is a total failure and it's time to get rid of this failure. No, it's not a failure. When Blackbeard the pirate pulled up next to your ship and fired cannons at your mast and took over the ship and threw the men overboard and stole all the gold, he wasn't failing. He was robbing your ass. But again, it's always the same. Well, they just don't know what they're doing. Oh, yeah, that's how they're able to steal all these elections and engage in all this fraud and crime. No, they're organized criminals. And their constituents are morons. And that's why, for 70 years, they've officially had policies to turn everybody down because they need stupid people. That's why to get away with what they're doing. That's why the litmus test to be in their cult is that two men can have a baby and there are no X and Y chromosomes. Because you've got to be a complete moron to buy this horse crap. And they've got to censor those of us telling the truth because maybe we'll be able to wake up the dumbasses. The clips are straight ahead. I'm shifting gears to the Epstein revelations. Stay with us.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Oh. I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
So, I'm not the Democratic Party. I'm not the private Federal Reserve. I can't and I don't want to be able to reach into your bank account or take money out of your paycheck and penalize you or fine you if you don't buy triple-priced Obamacare. I have to come to you and persuade you that I'm promoting the truth and show you the evidence that I am, and that I'm standing up for all of our collective freedoms and liberties into the future. And I have to convince you to back me in that fight. That's how freedom works. Freedom isn't free. But the fruits of it are incredible. And I know I'm stating something very simple. People are like, okay, we understand this. That's why we're tuned in. But we have to get more Americans and more humans on the earth to understand people have to get politically, culturally engaged in everything. Because if good people don't get involved, as Thomas Jefferson said, evil takes over. It's just a fact. We know this. I know I'm stating very simple things, but we're not enforcing this. We're starting to. Evil's fighting back. It's beginning to lose. But we get some gains. People start to go to sleep a little bit. And then the evil comes in again, and we wake back up, and then we got to have a revolution against this. There's been a revolution of corruption, a revolution of evil. It's all around us. It's out of control. And it's getting worse by the minute. So I'm going to finish up on Obamacare. That's what the shutdown's really all about. Look into the new Epstein revelations. And then I've got the top pollster in the world from the top polling organization in the world joining us, Mark Mitchell from RasmussenReports.com, on what's really happening in the Trump administration, what really happened with the election, with the Democrats sweeping across the nation in the 2025 off year. Mark Mitchell, and then Viva Fry on the absolute insane level of tyranny engulfing Canada. If you thought it was bad under Trudeau, well, they pulled out their puppet and they put a WEF board member, former head of the Bank of England, to loot the living snot out of them and put in classical totalitarian communism. And they're doing it all. And I was already planning to cover this today. And then I got a phone call about how bad Canada is. And I was talking to my friend who's got family in Canada. And he was telling me about it. And it is unbelievable. They let people caught raping five-year-olds out of jail the next day, no bond. And then don't even ever put them in prison. They are passing all this legislation to put you in jail for years if they say they don't like your speech. 10 years in prison if you're caught with an illegal gun. They banned almost all the guns, which we knew they do once they registered them. Oh, no, we'll never take them. It goes on and on and on, and the taxes and the regulations. And you're like, well, okay, screw Canada. That is to our north. Those are fellow humans. And everything going on in Canada and the UK and Europe is the same globalist, and it's exactly what's about to happen to us. So it'd be like if your neighbors, and I know most of you get this, but for people that are leftists or tuning in, I want to explain to them empathy and why we're supposed to care. I mean, we all do it naturally. We don't need to think through why God gave us this. If your neighborhood, let's say your block, has had a bunch of home break-ins, home invasions while people are there, people getting mugged in the street, cars getting broken into every night, you're going to get the police involved, you're going to get organized, you're going to get neighborhood watch, or you're going to move. So if people down the street are getting robbed, you care because they're your neighbors, but you really care because you understand they're you. You're next. And when you look at what they're doing in Europe and Australia and New Zealand and Canada, I mean, it is just, I can't even believe how fast it's moving. Passing regulations that the state can be wards over children who aren't even handicapped. And if the state decides to kill a child, they say it's their right to kill them. That's not even euthanasia. That's outright murder. They passed and signed on to the UN Pandemic Treaty, putting the UN in charge of Europe and UK and Canada. And they can get all sorts of shutdowns going that will devastate the economy, create hysteria, to buffalo us into shutdowns in the future. And it's all over the world, folks. The communists, with a whole bunch of manipulation, were able to win in South Korea. And I've got the video, the South Korean leader. They just installed, saying criticism of China or its ruling Communist Party will be treated as a criminal offense with a long prison sentence. You're like, oh, that's South Korea. Yeah, South Korea is literally becoming North Korea. Free countries are falling like dominoes because liberty is expanding. People are waking up. So the tyrants all over the world, the globalists and the communists, are moving to shut it down. Their answer to our great awakening is the great tyranny. And this world is so small, South Korea is like a house across town. Canada is like your next door neighbor, literally. That's had armed robbers take a family hostage, and you're sitting there eating dinner, looking out your window as the armed robbers are raping the man's wife and pistol whipping his children, and the dad is tied up, hog-tied on the table, and you're just like, oh, what's the big deal? So, this is unbelievable. Then Jade Iyer is the fourth hour with me. I mean, We knew academically they were going to make this move under Agenda 2030, but they're doing it. All these plans are not fictions, you know, in their minds. They intend to implement every damn bit of it. So I'll just keep raising the alarm here. Fighting this is not a part-time job for anybody. People haven't really done it in about 10 years, but it used to happen all the time. You know, I have dozens of employees reaching, even 10 years ago, 30, 40 million people a day conservatively. And family would come over to see me, or neighbors, and they'd say, well, what's your main career? Like, what's your daytime job? And I'm sitting there, because, you know, my house, there's not pictures of me and, you know, newspaper clippings on the walls and all this kind of stuff. And your house is modest and everything. You don't make a big deal about it. I'm like, oh, I reach, you know, 30 million people a day. And they're like, no, you don't. And the reason I raise that is people just have a normalcy bias. And they just don't believe when extraordinarily good things are happening, extraordinarily bad things are happening, especially if you don't put on airs. And by that, I mean, I'm not a person that puts on airs. Patriots don't put on airs. But we've been right. You've been right. So there has to be some way to signal to people like, hey, we're the good guys. If you don't want to be in total enslavement now, you better join us, and that we're the same people. I mean, where's the victory lap for all of us being right about the geoengineering and the New World Order and all the human trafficking and the private central banks and everything? You know, we should be doing a victory lap so people recognize we were the ones that were right, so that people will listen to us on the next important thing we're telling them. That's my issue with the Israel thing is, it's the avant-garde thing. It's all people talk about. They talk about the same set of things over and over again as if it does anything to Israel. They know nothing else about anything. And then it's like this golden ticket they have where they go, I'm better than you. You don't just talk about Israel. And I singled out Theo Von, who I like and who says nice things about me, just because you got to pick one example. I decided to shoot this last night because I literally saw a clip somebody posted in one of my videos, one of my reports, and it said, huh, why don't you, you know, be a real man and expose Israel like Theo Von? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I mean, when you know, Theo was 5 years old, I was making documentaries about Israel and staging false flag attacks. I've covered all of this. I don't have to prove myself. It's not even about Theo. It's about that mindlessness by people that are one issue and that's it. And that's what they talk about. And then most of what they talk about that, they don't even have any knowledge about it. And so I said, why is Theo Von scared of Alex Jones? And this is a case for example. Theo Von reaches out like 3 years ago. Hey, we want you on the show. Okay, Grant, come to Tennessee. Oh, sorry, can't do it. Okay, fine. Later, okay, well, we're going to have you on. Oh, can't do it. And I know what it is. YouTube threatens to demonetize him. You know? He goes around, and he's the avant-garde guy that will talk about Israel. Everybody's amazed. Oh, wow. Man, you're the cutting edge of everything. Oh, everybody else is talking about it because it's not dangerous to talk about it now. You get boosted for it because they want to create this conflict. And so I'm just simply saying, you know, myself as a case point example, nobody other than Trump's been more chewed on, sued, demonized, censored, debanked, attacked, lawfare, trying to put me in prison, because I know what I'm talking about on the past stuff, the current stuff, and the future stuff. And then I get to be lectured by people about, you know, you ought to talk about Israel. Well, you dumbasses must not be tuning into the show, because when there's something important and something serious, we cover it. I just don't relish it like I'm doing some taboo thing and I'm secretly jerking off into the table. Oh, oh God, I'm going to win. I'm really doing it right now. I mean, it's weird. So that's where I'm at on this. And I just have to sit here and watch all these Johnny come latelys with one trick pony. Israel, 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 Israel. And then I'm sitting here trying to cover AI takeovers and, you know, all the censorship laws and all the tyranny and the GMO in Canada. Just said we're not going to label fake meat genetically grown on the shelves. They already aren't labeling for 2 years now genetically modified salmon that is being sold in stores and doesn't say genetically modified. I mean, it just goes on and on. We got serious stuff to deal with here. And so somehow the great awakening we trigger happens that the globalists are bad, the media is bad, the government's run by corrupt people in many cases. But then somehow everybody latches on to one thing, and we've all got to be in awe of you know, any village idiot, I'm not saying that's Theo Vaughn, that just goes, well, God, I see a genocide, that's bad, we need to stop that. Okay, and do you know about the other genocides? I'm not saying don't cover the Gaza stuff. Do you know about a millions dead in Ukraine? Do you know about the millions dead in Africa for Muslims? Oh, covering up for Israel. No, I just cover all the big stuff. Like I just covered South Korea becoming totally communist and openly being under communist China's control. You know, we went to war in Vietnam to stop the Russians and the Chinese taking over Vietnam. Probably shouldn't have done that because it was just a jungle back then. Now it's a major industrial center and it's allied with us. Out of free market. And out of mutual respect. But South Korea is the most industrialized, high-tech center in the world per square foot, and it just fell to communist China. Kind of a big deal. When this gets posted on X, half the comments will be white cover for Israel. China cutting off the rare earth minerals. I'll talk about it. White cover for Israel. Because these people are challenged by other problems. They don't want to know about those. It's scary to them under cognitive dissonance. So they then just want to say, I'm bad, because that makes them feel big and powerful and pure and good. And the guy that literally engineered the global awakening, if anybody did it, the globalists admit it, the good guys and the bad guys, it's this operation, it's me, it's the crew, it's this. You know, so I'm sitting here like the MVP Pat Brady, of Fight the New World Order. If it was a football equivalent, and I'm not bragging, it's just true, and I get to have people that don't even know how to catch a football tell me how to fight the New World Order. I'm just sick of it. Listen, if you people want to get totally destroyed, just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm talking about Ben Shapiro. People ask me, I see in the comments, they go, why are you criticizing the Israel bashers? You should spend your time on Ben Shapiro. You should spend your time on Netanyahu. You know, everybody already knows they're bad. They don't even have viewers anymore. I'm spending time on you because you are somewhat awake. You're the prodigal son, so I'm trying to talk to you because you still have some potential. You think I'm going to waste my time on Ben Shapiro? You're like, well, I mean, bash him. Israel's the most hated country in the world. It's the giant pile-on. Now, can we pile on the pedophiles? Can we pile on the private Federal Reserve? Can we pile on the meat packers? Four companies that have a monopoly, and that's why the prices keep going up? Like we know how to fix every one of these things. We know who runs it, the insurance companies, how they own Big Pharma, vice versa, how the scam's going. We have all the receipts. We know how to fix it. But instead, this kleptocratic, crony capitalist, fascist, commie amalgamation, because every layer is a different system. Grassroots is commie. Then it's bureaucratic. Then it's corporate fascism. That's what BlackRock is. And the globalists insulate themselves from all the bad stuff they do. We have to de-insulate them by exposing them. And we're getting major traction on BlackRock getting shut down, trying to dictate what to do in industry in the States. And I mean, we're winning, but barely. And so I actually have extreme depth of knowledge, extreme context. And I got the whole blueprint laid out here. We know how to fix all of this. But I'm sorry, folks. You're going to have to learn more than just, oh, look, that person prayed at the Wailing Wall. And then just metaphysically play with yourself and talk about how you're good and they're bad all day long. And again, oh, look, the Jews are in trouble. We finally got them. He's trying to get us off their trail. It's all you do. If you're going to expose badness in Israel, be informed, know the facts, go in, cover it, move on to the next thing. And then you defuse the Zionists manipulating the other Jews who all feel threatened now, who don't know what's going on in the general public, who are sending record money to their very abusers that know they're stirring up the beehive so they can have this Armageddon, Megiddo crisis. And so the Israel lobby can fully take over the U.S. because they got a plan to false flag synagogues and stuff and come in with massive censorship. See, I'm not just talking about what happened in the past. I'm talking about what's about to happen. See? So I apologize to a lot of people out there that have woken up to the fact that they're being lied to, but who don't have any grasp or depth and who have low IQs. And I don't know how I respond to you. I can talk to you like you're five. And maybe I shouldn't waste my time on you. It just doesn't matter. But I'll tell you this. If we don't turn around the totalitarianism and all its flavors and forms, we are going to have a complete global depression. We are going to have total war. We're all completely screwed. And I'm literally just trying to save the ship here. And then I got to watch all these one-trick ponies, like a string you pull on those dolls that say like three things. And you pull it and it says the same three things. Just pull string, pull string, pull string. And I'm just like, this is retarded. This is absolutely idiotic. God, I was supposed to get into the Epstein thing. I'm going to get to that too coming up. And I got Gruber, you know, I told you all the stuff he said and all the things he did. Why should I play the architect of Obamacare saying you're stupid and we wrote it to take over the market and screw everybody and we lied to you? You know what? You don't care. You don't even want to know about it. I understand. I understand Democrats definitely don't want to know they got scammed. They just want to hate Republicans or white people. Most of them are white, by the way, that hate white people, because that's an easy, mindless thing for them to do. Same thing. Democrats don't anything, but white people are bad. It's real simple. It's tribal. It's mindless. Let's play Scott Jennings. Again, smart guy. He's smart enough to know this. Oh, Obamacare is a failure. It didn't work. No, it was a premeditated screw job with the Emanuels and with Gruber and with Obama and the insurance companies. And they're on record, and you know that, Jennings, because they never want you to know. He's a big Republican establishment guy, very articulate. I think he's very smart. But he always, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know. Oh, they, because you never admit it's on purpose that you got screwed. That's 10 times worse. And now you understand it's in total bad faith. Now you're not debating the mindless policies that their idiot constituents can't even understand. Now you can explain to their constituents, these are bad men that fucked you. Here is Gruber saying it. No. Let's not pull out the nuclear weapons. Let's not show them admitting it's a screw job. Let's just say it's those dumb liberals again. Boy, they just don't know what they're doing. I'm giving you the philosophy of victory here, people. That's why some of it's repetitive. Go to Jennings. Here it is.
One thing that came out of this entire fight is that the healthcare system in this country has been, Obamacare, has been exposed as a complete and utter failure. We all know it now. Everybody admits it. The other thing that came out is that Democrats are willing to make people suffer. And you heard Democrat after Democrat today say, well, we just couldn't prolong the suffering. So they admit that their political tactics were designed to inflict suffering on the American people. We also learned about cynical politics in this. But the overall issue of health care is going to have to be dealt with because the system has failed. Everyone, I think it's bipartisan now, admits it. But I'm not sure that having Mike Johnson commit to giving billions of dollars to insurance companies for insurance that's not getting any better, it feels like it's getting worse to the American people, is going to make a difference. I could see Democrats and Republicans coming together to discuss that, like if we're going to spend this amount of money, should we be just giving it to insurance companies or should we be doing something else with it that would actually have a chance of making it feel like you could get seen by a doctor and get a better health outcome? But what we're doing now, writing checks to health insurance companies is not getting us any better outcomes.
Look,
at all.
Okay, so let's have some real solutions. Pass a federal law that insurance companies must divest all interest in drug companies. Yeah, they set the drug prices, they rip you off. That's why, oh, the insurance company's paying 60% of this expensive drug. How nice of them. They own the damn drug that they tripled the price on to completely screw you. Remember, we're 4% of the population of the world. We pay 76% of all the costs. Of all the money spent, we are literally seen as complete morons. Gruber said, thank God the American people are so stupid. Here's the quote. The stupidity of the American voter led us to hide Obamacare's true cost from the public. I got the video. It's coming up. But that's what I'm... Just come on, people. The insurance companies and the drug companies are all merged, the big ones, and they're raping you. They're raping me. We know what they're doing. We know how to fix it. And that's why they want me off the air. Because I'll tell you, and you can go look this up. This is not hidden. But Jennings didn't tell you that. He's the good Republican up there. He, you know, there it really didn't work, and they're dumb, and we don't know what to do. Gee, it's broken. It ain't broken. When Attila the Hun was racing through Europe, killing millions of people and dominating everybody and sacking major cities, he wasn't failing. He was doing it on purpose. Let's go to break. I'm going to come back with all the rest of it. Epstein, everything. Before we end this, I'm backed by you. I can't do this without your help, as I started at the beginning of the segment. You have to make the decision to say, this guy is really accurate. Boy, that bad guy's went off the air. I should really support what he's doing. Plus, you know, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to get ultramethylene blue. I'm going to get the Shilajit. I'm going to get the Irish CMOS. I'm going to get the ultimate life force. I'm going to get the sublimates. I'm going to get the bovine colostrum. We've got the highest rated. Just look at what that does for you. I'm going to go buy some stuff at the AlexJonesStore.com. And I'm going to see, because already the show is worth financing and supporting. And then, of course, you're going to go, wow, this is really great. Yeah, of course. 80%+ reorder on the ultramethylene blue. Despite the fact it's close to selling out, more comes in a few weeks. Today is the last day. We send it to tonight to buy one, get one free of the liquid tincture or the capsules. And today, a free murdered out collectible, high quality Richardson InfoWars cap in every order of everything. TheAlexJonesStore.com. This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be shut down. They have a state receiver. Said it could be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
it all away. The lanes and the meadows.
I know it's hard to believe the different communist and socialist parties and leftist groups are so evil, but it's evil philosophies. And then once these systems get in place, evil people get replaced with people that are even more evil. That's the way tyranny works. So it is very frustrating to know Obamacare was written as a screw job, to have the architects of it admit it, and now 15 plus years later, Trump's trying to defund it, and they're acting like that's a screw job of the public and playing dumb. And people want instant gratification, so they want stuff fixed now. We got Mark Mitchell coming up. For real, Trump's numbers are tanking. And boy, if he fails, man, we got big problems. So that's coming up. But here's Jonathan Gruber, the main architect of Obamacare, admitting, yeah, we lied to people. Yeah, it's a total screw job. Yeah, you can't keep your coverage. Yeah, it's going to massively increase prices. Ha, ha, ha. Then I've got countless videos of him at MIT and other groups just bragging, and they're all just celebrating lying. And thank God the American voter is so dumb. Imagine the mindset of these people, but that's who they are. But imagine worse, the people that don't know how to go look this up, because you'll never see this on the nightly news. You'll never see Colbert talk about it. Those damn Republicans, they're going to take your health care away. All lies, but it doesn't matter because he's talking to idiots. Here it is.
Who exactly is Gruber? What was his role in crafting Obamacare?
I don't know who he is. He didn't help write our bill.
Most people think he's one of the best outside experts, Mr. Gruber of MIT.
I don't know if you have seen Jonathan Gruber of MIT's analysis. And so
Jonathan Gruber is one of the most respected economists in the world.
He attended 5 of the 12 meetings at the Obama White House in 2009, including the meeting with the president.
I was a paid consultant to the Obama administration to help develop the technical details of the bill.
$6 million in consulting fees on Obamacare. Who knew you could make so much money working for the government, huh?
And so
The fact that some advisor...
An advisor.
...who never worked on our staff...
I've stolen ideas from liberally, John Gruber.
Obama's a little more relaxed. I think he took a cigarette break halfway through.
Expressed an opinion that... I completely disagree with in terms of the voters.
That passed. The American voters are stupid to understand.
You know, called the stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
It's a very clever, you know, basic exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter.
There's no reflection on the actual process that was run.
And the only way we could take it on was first by mislabeling it.
And John Kerry said, no, we're going to tax your health insurance. We're going to tax those evil insurance companies.
Gruber, who has been our guide on a lot of this.
But we all know it's really a tax on people who hold those insurance plans.
I think it's fair to say that there was not a provision in the health care law that was not extensively debated.
This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies.
Mr. Gruber of MIT, he's got big computer models. He takes the CBO data, and frankly, in some respect, he's helped CBO by giving some information to CBO that otherwise does not have.
He had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in. It made explicit the healthy people pay in and sick people get money. It would not have passed.
And was fully transparent.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage.
And over time, it's applied to more and more health insurance plans.
And so...
How can that make sense?
And we're supposed to forget about that with the Democrats defending Obamacare everywhere. A deliberate, total, criminal screw job. And Obama denied it when that all came out. Well, here you are 15 years later. Did it massively increase prices to screw you? But what does Ezekiel Emanuel famously said on Fox News? He said, well, this will go on for a few decades. Then we'll collapse the healthcare system and have single payer, but run by the insurance companies. So communism run by big international insurance companies with guaranteed profit. Really called fascism. All right, Mark Mitchell, top pollster with Rasmussen coming up straight ahead. We've got massive news that is so important. Be sure and stay with us. Today's the last day to get one bottle of Ultramarine Blue, get another free, and get the free ball cap. Take action now. You have until midnight tonight. Take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right. You heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down. And now here we are dominating the Apple store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
In the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I remember in September of 2020 talking to Roger Stone on the phone. And he's a very smart political analyst and Trump's former top political advisor. He said Trump's going to lose. He said there's enough fraud baked in. He's got to win by 10 points. He's not going to have as big a landslide as he had in 2016. He goes, he's going to lose, but don't say that. I've since had Roger on, and after the fact, I wasn't out of confidence. I got his permission to tell the story. This time he said, no, he's going to win. It's going to look like a small landslide. He'll win the popular and the electoral, but he said, don't tell people that, because we still got to have maximum push. We got to have urgency. Now, when we came out and talked about that, and I told folks, good chance Trump's going to lose. I didn't say my sources. People need to take it serious. All the white pill Q people are like, no, he's invincible. Hillary's been executed. They're all at Guantanamo Bay. Just total cuckoo town stuff. Now, that's one extreme of that, of the white pills. There's other people that just say, oh, you're criticizing Trump when you say that's not a good policy. We think this advisor's bad. That's a terrible idea. We're not, in North Korea here. We're not the Democrats, too. We don't just slavishly follow whatever, comes out of the RNC. And so when I get up here and tell you that I don't need to be Mark Mitchell, who is, hands down, I talked to everybody, the numbers are clear, one of the, if not the best pollsters in the world at RasmussenReports.com, and he'll tell you, because I've been watching him, when he does other interviews and when he came on with Brianna Morello a few days ago, that Trump is in deep shit. And people go, oh, you're undermining him. No. We're saying that because that's what the numbers show and that's what we see on the street. So he course corrects very, very quickly because people are fickle. Just 3 months ago, Trump was riding high. But now because of a lot of things that are happening and the horrible economy he inherited and he is trying to fix it, we got big problems, and with all the people around Trump that don't want to give him bad news, I know this is a problem from the inside. Trump is distracted often in some areas. We need to get him refocused, and Mark Mitchell is doing that at Honest Pollster on X, RasmussenReports.com, and we appreciate Mark Mitchell joining us to go over this. He sent me a giant stack of polls, some polls that haven't come out yet. And looking over these, this is exactly what I see on the street. And I need Trump to succeed. My God, the Democrats get back in, they're going to throw my ass in prison. We would be totally devastated if Kamala was in. Trump is like our lifeboat that I'm trying to take care of. And some of the people in his administration are poking holes in it. And so we need to slap some people around here. I'm not talking about Trump, just in general. We need to slap ourselves in the face, kind of wake up here. And realize what's happening with what just happened last week with Democrats running the tables against us, and there's fraud baked in there. But still, so Mark, that's my long introduction. Thanks for being here. You sent me so many exhibits, like 50 of them. Where do you want to start here? And did I misrepresent what you're saying, or is that accurate?
No, 100%. I mean, I don't want to be glib, but I've been joking with my buddies that it looks like it's just going to be the second coming of the Glorious Revolution versus the Fourth Reich at this point. Like, I mean, that's what it really looks like. Because the wheels are just falling off this, like, faster than I ever could have imagined. And I knew Trump would lose political capital, but for him to absolutely just, like, shoot himself in the foot like this in a public way where, like, he doesn't even understand his movement. The thing that's most appalling to me, and I've polled a lot, and I can tell you his approval rating is the lowest of his term, but it's only -9 net approval. That's not horrifying. Like, it could be a lot worse. It could be -20. And he's not there yet. And I don't even know if he'll ever get there because he does have a strong base. But the problem is that he's not going to have a Republicans that help him. And the Republican Party just, like, completely was revealed to be a do-nothing organization that sits there to basically milk the taxpayers in Washington, D.C. and siphon off donor money because they failed so bad last Tuesday. And what they do is that Trump wins and people are giving Republicans the benefit of the doubt. They're saying, okay, well, I want this guy, so I'll give him his party too. Then his party just didn't govern. They're MIA. They're not fixing any of these things. They did that embarrassing string of things over October right into Election Day. And what happened is that Trump voters in 2024, like, did not convert to Republican voters at all. And I knew that was going to happen, but it was even worse than I thought. You look at a place like New Jersey and you could say, oh, it's a blue state and a blue person won there. It's like, okay, but we see very clearly that Trump got 2 million votes in New Jersey and Jack Chiarelli only got 1.3. And so there were 700,000 people who were mostly Democrats, young people and independents who really believed in the Trump movement and will probably never vote for a Republican again. And so in my DMs, all I've had for the last like 3 days now straight is all of these millennials and Gen Z people, most of them were not Republicans, who have been on the Trump train for 10 years now, and they finally thought that Trump was going to fix the issues, and what are they're completely demoralized. I have people like burning their MAGA hats and saying they wish that Trump hadn't been missed in Butler, like really dark stuff. The anger is off the charts here. And like, these are real MAGA people that go to rallies and stuff like that. They feel let down. And so I think Trump could course correct, but the White House is a joke, like the stuff he's being told. And it's like he doesn't even understand what the problems are. This was a referendum, as I've said on your show, about government trust. And so he got into the government and said, oh, everybody's going to trust us now. No, you have not brought America any accountability. And accountability doesn't just mean arrests. It's like, okay, well, we have a CIA that people think, 41% of them think killed Kennedy, and that 64% think is Mockingbird sending notes to mainstream media. It's like just putting a new person at the head doesn't mean people forgot that we still have a CIA that may have killed a president. So we have to go through the struggle session of like root cause, corrective action. Here's the investigation here. And I know these things take time, but nobody is doing anything. Like there is, you know, you have Cash Patel, the head of the FBI, and he's in the news because of this personal lawsuit. What about firing all the people that raided Mar-a-Lago with the authorized use of deadly force? Or all the people doing Arctic Frost? They're probably all still there. And so, one, referendum on government trust, draining the swamp, nothing. Not a thing. Like, nothing has happened.
Well, that's right. I know the American people, more than even an economy, they want justice, they want intense indictments, they want action. And the fact is, by the administration, there's a bunch of showboating. It looks like a big party's going on.
Yep.
And then MTG says, hey, my constituents say they want you more focused domestically. And he's like, well, international is domestic. We get that, but you then have to say that.
You didn't make the case. Yeah. Well, and then the other one is the economy. And so, okay, Trump comes out. And just like in Epstein, which I also said was a really big deal. Like, is the Epstein the biggest thing on earth? No, but when it becomes a symbol of a two-tiered justice and you completely are on the odds with your base and you try to brute force public opinion of your own followers, that's a big deal. And I said it was a big deal. I think it lost him permanently 5% of independence.
And now it's come back. And now I was about to ask. Now they're bringing it back in. They're releasing a bunch of a cherry pick from Congress. But exactly, it becomes a touchstone. Hey, you were going to release this. This was going to happen. It's a trust issue that's captured the public's attention. And instead of just shutting up about it or slow rolling it, no, instead, like you said, they tried to beat us over the head and tell us, no, you better get in line. The dumbest thing you could do.
Yeah. people didn't even care about Epstein that much. I mean, they want justice, but he could have just said, oh, we're investigating it. And people would have like waited till there was another canary in the coal mine. But then he did the exact same thing with the prices, and he just beat people over the head with gaslighting. Don't talk to me about affordability. That was the worst thing he could do. And I don't even think he understands the problem. The problem is that the middle class has completely been hollowed out, that we're being led essentially by the baby boomer generation who had the wealth of America, the land of milk and honey, and owns all of the homes and sent all of the jobs overseas. Like, that's where we're at right now. And most people under 50 palpably understand that. So when Trump comes out and says, well, you're all complaining about prices. Well, they're complaining about prices because wages have stagnated and people are underemployed, and you gave all the jobs to India. Like, that's why people are upset about prices. And so when he comes out and talks about bringing the price of turkey down, well, these people can't afford houses to put the turkey in. And they're making jokes about you about, well, Trump's plan for affordability on turkey is to, like, have a three-year turkey loan where you can put no money down. And you know what I mean? It's, like, that bad. So, again, where's the understanding that this needs to be economic populism? He ran as a populist, and he's surrounded by billionaires. And, like, Bill Pulte might be the nicest guy on earth, but when your solution to, like, the housing crisis is to make prices higher, which is what happens when you juice demand without affecting supply, that's what that 50-year mortgage will do. It will make the baby boomer generation more wealthy because their houses prices will go up. It will make home builders more wealthy because they can sell higher priced houses, and it will make bankers more wealthy because they can siphon off more interest out of young people. And what's really sick is that we have a bubble right now. And so for Trump to expand borrowing by expanding credit and relaxing the credit requirements, what they're essentially doing is helping struggling people get into the market so that boomers who have made a lot of money can get out of the market at the top. That's even more perverse. And so that's what their solution was, when the real solution should be to crash the market. And yes, that would be bad for the economy, but everybody was talking about a controlled detonation of the economy. Remember back in January, I think it was. We're like, okay, we're in. How are we bringing this thing down? And you know what? That would have been the best thing for people under 50. They could have gotten rid of all the H-1Bs and all the visas and then crashed the housing market. That would have given every Zoomer a job. A good job, like an Apple development job.
Oh,
not
yeah,
like
crashing the market like a fever would also push all the foreigners out, all the illegals.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it would be a generational wealth transfer. But we still have generational wealth transfers happening right now. You have young workers who are underemployed basically paying for all the Social Security and Medicare that the boomer generation is demanding to be there. And what I'm saying that we're seeing is the fourth turning, and I think we're seeing it right now. And I think the Israel issue, and I'm not picking on Israel. It could have been any issue.
No, absolutely. But exactly. That's been now the catalyst. That's what captured the public's attention. So break that down.
Yeah, 100%. So if you look 20 years ago and ask America about, like, well, what did you think about Israel? It's like it wouldn't have been that big of a political football, and the numbers probably would have been flat across age. But then there would have been a huge age spectrum between the youngs and the olds on what, like, candidate to support, right? Now it's the complete opposite. People aren't that far apart on Trump between, like, 18 and 65. But on Israel, they're completely far apart. We have a tracking question. I think I've mentioned it here before. Do you support Israel or the Palestinians more? And first off, that number has gone down a lot. People say Israel by 30 points 2 years ago. Now it's only 13. So complete implosion, major PR mismanagement. But the 18 to 29s, only 21% say Israel. The 65 and older, it's 59%. So they're completely at odds. And that's even before party. So it's even bigger, I would assume, on the Republican side.
And how did it become the issue? Because you have the left totally hating Israel. You have the populist right hating it. And my issue is that's all people want to talk about. I could just play a recording, F Israel for 4 hours. It would have higher ratings. I'm not going to do it. And I criticize it. Israel needs to be done. But it has become the zeitgeist. Well, all this other stuff swirling around. So the public kind of woke up, but like that's the issue they know.
I think it's very clearly the fourth turning stuff. And what the fourth turning tells us is that there's a generation, the boomer generation is the one that, you know, takes over government, you know, it tears down, essentially tears down the systems, grew up where there were strong institutions with strong values, takes advantage of that, becomes more individualistic and selfish. And then at the cusp of the fourth turning crisis, there's a change of leadership into the hero generation, which is younger people, but specifically the millennials, people who have come up under them, were raised by them, but have a very different value set. And so there's a crisis. And after that crisis, I think values are pull, not push. You can't push conservative, can't push Christianity on people, conservatism on people at, from a political perspective. There's a crisis and people reorder society around a new value set. So I think Israel is a very deeply ingrained boomer value. They saw the nation be formed. They supported it all through the years. And
it's become a religious sacrament. And so the young people see that as a rebellion point. And do you think Netanyahu understands? Do you think Israel, I mean, the Gallup poll, the most unpopular country in the world, do they understand how screwed they are? Because everything they do, get Tucker Carlson, we'll destroy him, we'll kill him like a fox in a henhouse. I mean, that is the perfect thing to just supercharge hatred against Israel. I'm watching Israel literally destroy itself, and Napoleon said, never interrupt your enemy when they're, you know, destroying themselves or making a mistake. Well, I'm not their enemy. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
Yeah. That's literally it. And they're not going to be able to correct this problem because it's generational. And again, this isn't because the young people hate Israel. It's just because the young people realize that this is a very strongly held boomer value that they can rebel against. They're literally just rebelling against the olds. And the Nick Fuentes stuff is the perfect example. He took a group of people. He didn't make all the Groypers. There have been strongly conservative, disaffected men on the right for a long time. And they say edgy things. And these were the core of people that got Trump in the White House. And nobody even realizes that. The people of 4chan, you know, became the people on Reddit that became the people pushing all the Trump memes. It's the same group of people. And Nick Fuentes, after, you know, Rumble and Twitter became more free, Nick Fuentes realized, well, I can like step in and be edgy and get attention. And so what did he do? He gave boomers a middle finger by acting anti-Semitic. And of course they spurred out, and that's what's happening right now. They're literally, and Bibi knows he's got a problem with young people. We saw the clip. He said it. I think they're trying to do it in some kind of broad spectrum, you know, monetary like way. I feel it palpably, like the following of my account on Twitter changed about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's not working. It's just making people madder. I was about to say,
Israel's not pumping millions, billions into the propaganda war, the 8-front war, and I could have told them this is going to backfire. And again, people go, well, why are you giving Netanyahu advice that'll help them? Let them destroy themselves. They got nuclear weapons. If people thought down the road, like how crazy this is at the center of the universe, is fighting with Israel. I say, you know, don't support the wars. Get rid of foreign aid for everybody. I don't want to blow up Israel. Don't hate them. But it is, you're absolutely right, though. This is the rebellion point. This is the pressing on the nerve of edgelording. And you know, Nick got run out of his media operation by Shapiro. So he's had this beef a while organically. He's a microcosm of what now the Israel lobby is trying to do to the general public that any idiot would tell them is just going to supercharge opposition.
Yeah, and it did. There's this site that you can look at your Twitter account, and based on engagement, likes, and follows, it ranks you globally. And last week, out of 9 million followers, Nick Fuentes was 134th, while Ben Shapiro was 5,200th. And now on Rumble, Nick Fuentes is turning out more views with 14 times less followers and a much smaller account than Ben Shapiro is on YouTube. So they literally mainstream Nick Fuentes on purpose after me and many other people warned them about the Streisand effect. And so again, I'm not assigning motive to these people, but looking on the outcome, you know, they've used this to go after leadership at the Heritage Foundation. That's a pretty big political football. A lot of people out there.
Clearly it's the same old trick. Trigger this. Now there'll be an attack on a synagogue, false flag or real, whatever. 8 months ago, me and Tucker predicted all this on air.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an anti-MAGA regime change inside the Republican Party, and that they don't really mind if they lose. They just can't afford to have America first. And I think part of it is that Tucker speech at Turning Point USA, where he laid out a very clear-eyed vision for what America First could look like, as an extension of Trump MAGAism, And it was pretty intelligently laid out. Like, you could tell, in my opinion, that he's been thinking about what that looks like. And he also said a lot of things that are just very different than what Republicans would say. And again, not all about
Israel.
That's
right. The Republican Party is leaving the neocons, not just the Israel neocons. Mm-hmm. We left them a long time ago. And like, the beaten woman is trying to get to the station wagon, and Netanyahu and Ben Shapiro are out there, you know, giving her a black eye, trying to drag her back in the house. She's gone. Okay.
Gone.
And so it's over. And all I'm saying, and I've told Nick this on air and off, I'm like, listen, great, Israel thing, we need to move on to China and stabilize the dollar and going forward and not just press on this. Because joining in on it at this point just energizes Netanyahu, who has all these indictments and just wants to stay in power. And so he knows this has happened. This is just even a short-term thing for him to then kind of come into this vacuum and grandstand. But what you said is absolutely key, Mark Mitchell. And that is that the Republican Party has moved on, it's over, and that there's no way that they're going to be able to continue this on. So if they want to kill America first, that way they think, oh, they're still in control of a quagmired U.S., but then Israel's the main demon from the left and right in the model to get there. To destroy MAGA, you have to destroy Israel's view of the world. That's not very sophisticated.
Well, the people know who the Republican Party is now. And so I think you can have successful MAGA candidates that can build a big tent coalition. But the problem with the Republican Party is they know that it doesn't have the interests of the voters in mind, and they're going to laugh at them on the internet because they're liars. That is the current state of the Republican Party, and it's not going to change. Republican Party, I think, just wants to run like whatever Ken Griffin's favorite candidate is and get that guy 60, 65 million votes, and then maybe sell their votes to the Democrats in order to get some like pork and stuff like that. That's what the future of the Republican Party wants to look like. And I just think, like, looking at the Democrats right now, I think that game is kind of played out. And the problem with Trump is that it's so blatantly obvious what he needs to do to, and I think it's about the youth. He needs to recapture the youth because they were totally spurned. They loved Doge. Trump's biggest mistake was getting rid of Doge. If they were still doing
that. By the
way,
you said that at the time, and so did I. Now they're getting back together. He's brought in the guy Elon wanted for NASA. But I think Trump should, for the first time in his life, apologize, or at least bring back Elon, relaunch Doge. I totally agree. That is one big thing you do. He could also come out and give a non-anti-Israel speech, but you saw even J.D. Vance say, no, we're for America, not Israel. We'll work with Israel when we have shared values, but this president is controlled by Israel. We need to hear that out of Trump's mouth.
That made newspapers in Israel freak the hell out. Just that one statement. This president is not controlled by Israel. So this is a problem, is the Republican Party has all these like internal forces that would much rather just burn down the movement than actually like lose and turn it over to America first. Yep. You put the debt clock up. The clock is ticking. Like, we're one downgrade and a bond vigilante puke probably away from hyperinflation. I don't know. I'm not an economist. And so the clock is running out. But again, I think the playbook is very easy. Trump can go away, spend 2 days surrounded by followers, actually listen to Benny Johnson and, you know, like, get back to the Charlie Kirk wing of this and understand that he's got it wrong. Like, he has the wrong platform right now. And the platform is literally just drain the swamp. And here's the second part. Smash the oligarchy. And right now, unfortunately, Trump appears to be the oligarchy. And when I say, like, accept those as the platform, it means that there needs to be a plan laid out between now and just a year from now of what the rest of the 3 years looks like and what's going to get accomplished before November. And he's got to get the vote somehow from Congress. And if that means like real smash mouth, like really investigating the fraud, maybe censuring people, like, I don't know what it is, but it's got to
totally
be.
Let's do a
like
few more minutes with the Mark Mitchell. Follow him at Honest Bolster on X, RasmusReports.com. He sent me a lot of the stuff I want to get into, but this thing with Trump melting down, we're trying to save it, is the big central issue. This is a desperate situation. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes! This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra, Methylene, Blue, and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is close to being shut down. They have a state receiver. Said it could be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com, the coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the Methylene Blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the Methylene Blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top supernutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid with a bunch of other concentrated supernutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby, the Second American Revolution, at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Friday night boys and girls I see, drunk and running around like ants. They all just want to be heard and seen, speaking their minds and taking their stance. Some are real happy and some are mean. Some are just looking for quick romance. They want to be part of the popular scene, so they dress the part and take their chance. The boys and girls are acting real strange, pretending they're welders and cowboys and such, buying old work gear from the exchange, but you can tell their hands don't do very much.
Listeners, and most have been listening for decades, you know, a lot of you have. I don't get up here and fearmonger for no reason just to get listeners. If I wanted to get listeners, I would just do, you know, red meat Republican stuff and make fun of liberals all day. And we still do that sometimes. It's just I can't help it. But if you study economics and history and you've been around a while and you read what all the top analysts are saying in the real world, not in the pop culture, the world is in the most danger ever. All this confluence of different things are going on. And I predicted Trump would win this time. I predicted, you know, all the stuff that's happened. And I knew in the last 6 months that this whole Israel thing, with the perfect storm of the everything that Mark Mitchell just said, with the boomers worshiping it and all the Zionist intimidation against people that were just mildly criticizing Israel, when there's been an avalanche shift against it, bullying doesn't work when that's going on. Got a few people to keep down, bullying works. Not when there's a giant uprising. It'd be like, you know, Mrs. Frankenstein running out of the castle when 500 villagers show up with torches, and she runs out there with a baseball bat and threatens to kick all their asses. Well, Mrs. Frankenstein, they're gonna knock you over the head and go into the castle and burn the son of a bitch down. And Netanyahu is Mrs. Frankenstein. Nobody knows where Frankenstein, the monster, is. He's running around the village, you know, doing whatever he's doing. It's Dr. Frankenstein's, you know, maybe been strangled by his monster. We don't even know. That's a weird analogy, but my point is that Trump's doing so much good on policies, on the economy and so many things, but they have absolutely ignored Epstein that now has come roaring back, and their handling of that. And then now their handling of Israel and, you know, the things Trump said and did, which I'm not going to belabor because I'll go back to our guests, but you're not my supporters if you want to know about Epstein. You know, stuff like that. And I get it. He's 79 and we need Trump. I mean, listen, I'm not somebody that just bashes Trump because then, oh, it'll be a big clip. Everything I say is because I absolutely believe it. I get criticized for not attacking Trump on every issue because I'm trying to balance this. Of, you know, it, compared to Kamala Harris, it's night and day. But now that he's starting to sink quickly, I mean, I'm going to have to really take it to him. And I was invited to Mar-a-Lago 6 months ago, the White House. I'm supposed to be at, what is tonight? I'm supposed to be at Mar-a-Lago tomorrow with some people. And I wasn't even going to go. I guess I got to go. I guess I got to go to the White House. And I'll probably just scream at him. And that's why a lot of times he doesn't really call me anymore. Because over the years, I'll say, listen, you got traitors. Here's their names. Damn it. I don't want to hear how great I am. Because, you know, he get the 5-minute call. It's exactly 5 minutes. And he's going to pat you on the head and do this thing. And I'm just like, listen, I got kids. I study history. I'm a futurist, really. And I'm scared, okay? I'm not scared of being put in prison or killed. I'm scared of failing. I'm scared of waking up and we're in a fucking nuclear war, folks. I mean, this is serious. And you've got the political class, like, I know Mark knows all this, when he says each little thing, it's a year of knowledge. The Republicans famously steal half the money they get for TV ads and stuff. They're still putting most of it in TV, period. The Democrats spend like 97% on attacks. They're committed. They mean business. The Republican class of consultants and politicos are just the most disgusting people you can imagine in that they are single-mindedly about stealing money. There ain't going to be no money if everything collapses or there's a nuclear war, jerks. So I know I have my guests here to talk. I'm going to stop ranting, but just can you speak to that and some of the other stuff you sent us, Mark, and I'm going to try to shove and give you the floor. I don't know how to get maximum urgency to people because I've never felt like this. I've been on there 31 years. My gut's always been right.
Yeah.
I've been feeling the last few weeks claustrophobic. Like when I never had panic attacks in my life. I'm learning these are what they are. I'm literally feeling claustrophobic right now. I don't know how I get people to understand how much danger we're in. And I know you're a really smart guy that doesn't, you've had a lot of businesses, a lot of companies. You're not just a top pollster. Like you said, you get data everywhere. Are you feeling the same urgency that this slide continues? We're screwed.
This is the end of an empire. We're staring at it. And what we saw basically is that the right had the best chance it's ever going to get. That's it. You had the best chance. And now we see exactly what the Republican Party is. The music is stopping. I've been on the show and I've talked about all of the rising risk of civil war. 90% of people are concerned about political violence. Like all of these numbers are going up and up and up, right? And the left is just blatantly ignoring the Constitution and the right still thinks that the Constitution is a suicide pact. It's really wild. But the music is going to stop on all of this. Our entire government, for instance, is basically, you know, organized towards still fighting against Soviet Russia or whatever. I'm not a foreign policy genius. But all that stuff that we said about Israel, I think in a couple of years, maybe even in a year or two, it's going to be the same thing about NATO. Because I'm just looking at numbers back from March, and 18 to 39-year-olds, only 27% of them have a very favorable impression of NATO, 53% of 65 and older. So there's a complete generational divide there, too. And we're getting to a place like another 5 or 10 years of boomer deaths, and we're going to pull the plug on NATO. Like, the writing
and
is
NATO,
on the wall.
And in the real world, and with war with Russia, if you talk about who can get us killed, it's NATO. I mean, it is out of control.
100%. Yeah, everybody's got a gun to our head. Like, that's where we're at. Literally, the entire world has turned into global welfare queens. We employ, like, every engineer in India. We're in a proxy war with Russia. Like, we literally subsidize all of Western Europe. I mean, literally, the American taxpayer has been screwed by everybody, and they're tapped out, and they're starting to realize it. And unfortunately, it looks like maybe the right didn't take advantage of this chance the way it should have, and the pendulum's going to go back to the left. And the left has learned that it's going to run on Democrat socialism. I don't know what that means. But the thing is that the youth kind of understand, like you said, that the left is at least serious about it. So look at just any one of these crises, like the housing crisis. The left has an answer for that. We know exactly what it looks like. It's going to be a $10 trillion bipartisan banking and housing bubble bailout bill. It's going to give everybody under 40 like some government home or something. It's going to be built by big corporations. A lot of it's going to get siphoned, and it's going to probably screw up the dollar and doom us into a debt spiral. But at least the people will get something, right? If the Republicans, they've been given the opportunity to solve this crisis, and they're talking about turkeys. They're talking about turkeys, and they're telling people, don't tell me about affordability. And so I'll make one more point about where Gen Z is at. And people should watch Zoomers. Like, go to YouTube, go to the streamers. Like, I watch a few of them. I think Asmund Gold is really good. They have no political loyalty whatsoever, and they are also not conservative. We talked a lot about that polling on your show. Even the ones that voted for Trump are very socialistic. They want to nationalize industries. They want excess wealth confiscation.
Oh, and so I'll tell you. Look at Fuentes. Loves Hitler, loves Stalin, loves strongmen, because that's what the youth, and this repeats the 20s. By the way, kids, when we go through these patterns, you get these strongmen, you get giant wars and total death and destruction. So that's why older people, I don't mean the boomers, they're, you know, not all of them are so secure and watch their football games, but I mean real technicians like Mark Mitchell that's run major companies, people that have been around like myself, we've studied history. This doesn't go well. And so this fascination with black uniforms and, you know, marching armies, it's not fun.
Yeah, and I think you got to look at nuance, like what specifically his real platform is. I don't watch him, but he had a clip. And it's like a lot of that is just shock value to rebel against the Zoomers. But what these people are asking for is a return to justice. They're asking for like some type of equivalent, some blowback to the complete lack of justice and the two-tier justice. They're looking for economic opportunity, and they're looking quite frankly for identitarianism. And that's something that a lot of people haven't talked about. And it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, young people have lost their identity. And I'm not even trying to criticize Nick. I was going towards a danger point there and just using that as a larger example. They want results, and they want them now, and they're going against whatever the establishment is, which is what you get in a major turning. Please continue.
Yeah. So the youth approval of Trump back in the peak, if you look at Google Trends right now and type in Doge and look back at the last week of February, first week of March, everybody was searching for Doge. It's like that's when USAID was coming to a head. Like, you go back and look at the news headlines. That's the week where voters under 40 gave Trump a 60% approval rating. They went to Hillary Clinton by 20 points. So I can't like explain how absolutely nutso a 60% under 40 voter approval rating of a Republican president. It's unprecedented.
Because they were seeing real reform. So we go back to this. We need Trump to 100% apologize, bring back those first 3-4 months. That was so amazing. People saw the change, but the Republican establishment came in and went against Elon, and Trump went along with it. Now he's realizing he was wrong. But we need to not just give, you know, Elon his guy at NASA. We need to bring him back.
Yeah, he went from 60% with those people to 35% on election day, a complete and utter collapse. And if you ask them, they say, oh, well, Mamdani, I kind of like him now. He's got a 62% favorability among under 30s now. So they just want somebody who has an authentic solution. But what's kind of interesting is we've been asking about like AutoPen and Arctic Frost and all these other things. And when you ask people, okay, are you following what's going on with Arctic Frost? Guess who says yes most? It's the under 30 voters. They're the ones reading Chuck Grassley's letter. It's people under 30 on the internet. 80% of them are following that story. And then when we ask you, it's like, okay, well, do you want these people arrested? Guess who says yes? 56% of the Zoomers want the people arrested from the AutoPen scandal. 59% want the Arctic Frost people arrested. I might have that reversed, but it was like 59 to 19. It's like 3-1. They're like, just do something. And you look at how these people are responding to Nick Fuentes. Go back to that interview with Tucker. Everybody on the right clutched their pearls because two humans talked on the internet. And the Zoomers are like, hey, look, it's two humans talking on the internet. And like 30 million people probably watched that. You can go to YouTube and look at the like and dislike ratio. It's overwhelmingly liked. It's like 270,000 upvotes to only 7,000 downvotes. Most people just watched it and they're like, oh, he's saying some stuff that's interesting. You know what the Zoomer streamers that I watch thought that they liked most there? It was the part where Nick Fuentes says that we need to come down on the protesters with an iron fist and crush all dissent. That's what the Zoomers want. And so they look at this and they're like, oh, okay, Trump declared, you know, a terrorist organization. It's like, well, the optics of Trump defending colleges, liberal professors that are brainwashing our youth with CCP students. These are China's elite. They are CCP members taking Zoomer jobs. He's defending that while they're literally attacking Turning Point on college.
That's right. I have the clip. See if you guys can pull it up. What the F is this? Trump supporters rip president for saying there aren't enough talented people in America. So American young people, and it's Hispanics and blacks too. I see the numbers. They're waking up and saying, we want somebody to represent us. We've been screwed. We're done. And if Mondami promises a bunch of free stuff, at least they probably know it's going to be bad inflation and crash stuff down the road. But they don't care because they understand they have no future. So they're basically just hitting a panic button.
Yeah. They're the forcing function for the fourth turning. They're going to be in charge. And I don't know what they do. I don't think they know what they do. I think they just don't like what we see right now.
And folks, that's why Mao Zedong and Hitler both went after the youth. And we need to really pay attention to this. Instead, you've got the insulated boomers. And I'm oversimplification. My parents are boomers. A lot of great people are boomers in a way. But with the boomers, even particularly, you know, compared to my grandparents, the World War II generation, there is just a insulation, they just live in another world. Yeah. And
it's a foundation myth. Foundation myth.
Well, take my grandparents on both sides would be reading the Grassley reports. So that was, you know, 70, 80 year old people that cared about intelligence reports. Now it's not the old people on average. It's young people because they know they're in deep trouble. They're trying to find out what's happening.
That's right. Yeah, that's the cycle. My wife was raised by Silent Generation. My parents were boomers. Our experience could not have been any different. And that's literally exactly what's going on. And, the youth are going to win. And it's a question about like, does the right understand this and doesn't want a seat at the table? Or is it going to keep pretending that we're going to continue to be the boomers for the rest of the existence? It's not going to last. Music's stopping. Everything's running out already. I think you're starting to see cracks in the economy. I've heard reports about upticks in youth unemployment and reduced spending. And it's like already we know like the house prices have been too high too long. Everybody's going to start like defaulting on stuff. And again, like we saw a year ago, people were talking about a controlled detonation of the economy. And we didn't want to do that because we conflated the economy with the stock market. Well, no, the stock market is all AI hype again, Alex, by boomers. It's boomers retail trading up AI stock companies while Zoomers can't even eat or procreate. It's like really bad. The one stat about the median home buyer, National Association of Realtors dropped this like the day before election day. It was really wild. The median age of home buyers in the country is now 59 years old. 20 years ago, it was 39 years old. So the people buying houses now are the same human beings that were buying houses 20 years ago.
Because yeah, if your country's booming, it's 25-year-olds getting their first home with a husband and wife. Let me play this clip because, again, Laura Ingraham going after Trump, MTG doing it, everybody. And it's not because they want to. they see Trump starting to go the wrong direction. Well, sorry, we're not giving up our values. We're the wave you rode in on, and I'm doing this. I'm going to play this clip, but while we're playing it, think of this, Mark Mitchell, in closing. And you brought up so many other great points. Talk for hours, but I got to go. How do we salvage this with Trump? Like, if you were Trump, or you could go to Trump, meet with him for an hour, give him bullet points, he would do everything you said, because I respect you, really smart guy. What should Trump do? Because we can get this clips of this. He won't watch more than 5 minutes, but I can get anything I want to him. He's got to make a few phone calls and things, and it'll happen, and I've seen some effects from it. So we do have some hope here, but I think the clock's ticking in the next few months. Let's go ahead and go to this Laura Ingraham clip.
There's never going to be a country like what we have right now.
And does that
mean Republicans have to talk about it, Laura?
And does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration? Because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
of foreign
workers.
Well, I agree, but you also do have to bring in talent.
We don't have talented people here. You don't have certain talents, and people have to learn.
You can't take people off an unemployment, like an unemployment line, and say, "I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles," or "I'm going to put
you." How did we ever do it before?
Well, let me just. I'll give you an example. In Georgia, they raided because they wanted illegal immigrants. They had people from South Korea that made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated. It's not an easy thing and very dangerous. A lot of explosions, a lot of problems. They had like 500 or 600 people. Early stages to make batteries and to teach people how to do it. Well, they wanted them to get out of the country. You're going to need that, Laura. I mean, I know you and I disagree on this. You can't just say country's coming in, going to invest $10 billion to build a plant and going to take people off an unemployment line who haven't worked in 5 years and they're going to start making missiles. It doesn't work that way.
Now, Trump pragmatically is 100% right, and he's in the process of this. But it's not lying when you just don't say certain things out loud, Mark. That could lose us the midterms, that statement.
Well, what the no talent thing is going to be played over and over again in every Democrat ad. But I think like actual Trump supporters looking at that, like there's probably some cognitive dissonance because they don't really understand. First off, he's surrounded by billionaires and he kind of went to bat for the big corporations. Looks like oligarchy stuff. And I agree. I agree we should be able to have, you know, people come over to South Korea and help us set up.
If he'd have said, hey, it takes time to get the curve, they're here to train us, we got a lot of talent, they just got to get trained. He said it's the no talent. He needs to come out and say, I misspoke, I didn't mean that.
Well, right, but he's taking the 1% edge case when 99% of it is manipulation by corporations. Walmart's technology is 70% Indian foreign national almost, and nobody's talking about the national security threat that we took a member of the BRICS and gave them control over every one of our technology companies, and quite frankly, a way that's probably going to be pretty hard to extricate ourselves from. But the other thing he didn't talk about was, wait a minute, that plant had a whole bunch of legal aliens and we didn't like sue the hell out of Hyundai? Are you even going to bat for us? Like, why did you not punish them brutally for employing all of those illegal aliens? And then the other thing is he kind of doesn't know how the job market works is what I can surmise from that statement. Because what happens is when they have a role to fill for like missile engineer or whatever, they put a description out and they get 100 resumes and then they look through them for the H-1B so they can pay them less. Well, if they weren't allowed to find the H-1B, there would still be American resumes.
Exactly. They'd have to pay a little more than to say that we don't have talent. It's horse crap. And again, you've been an executive, Walmart, e-commerce, Jet.com, JPMorgan Chase. You're not just a top pollster. The reason you're so good at polling is you have this big background of knowledge to bring to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I ask questions, right? And, you know, I think the corporate culture is getting away from this. People don't really understand what woke is. Like, I think woke is this Republican globalism sort of big business, brown nose, it's all about my resume, and make a decision about what looks good and not what is good. And what is good is asking questions, identifying the actual reality, root cause and corrective actions, and putting long-term systematic solutions
in place. So many people are thin-skinned, even in executive areas. They want a bunch of yes-men. The world's too complex. The world civilization was not built with a bunch of yes-men. It was built on meritocracy. 60 seconds, Mark Mitchell, Honest Pollster on X, RasmussenReports.com. The Mondami thing, though, is that just a thing in New York? We saw a lot of other communists and Islamics getting elected as well, or is that a trend? Does he run for president? How dangerous is Mondami?
The youth want him because they believe him, and he's going to look out for them, period. But you said you wanted a plan. And
Let's keep going. Yeah. Oh God, I forgot. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you have to do 5 more minutes than after this. We're about to go to break in 3 minutes. What is okay? You got 5 minutes with the president. How does he get himself out of this?
I don't even know if it needs 5 minutes, but again, I think if he fixes his message, he can come back. His numbers can come back up. The question is the Republicans who completely crapped the bed. And I don't know if anybody's going to believe them, but it's going to take like basically the Manhattan Project to figure out how to get Republicans to win next fall. And I don't think they're going to be able to do the whole thing. So I think they need to lay out basically like a contract for America that's focused on brutal accountability and economic populism and basically undoing the oligarchy, because the left's going to do it if the right doesn't. And you're not going to like how the left does it, and they aren't going to be able to get all that done, but they need to lay out what they can pragmatically get done with whatever reconciliation they have or whatever. If they can fix these problems, they will be in power for 50 years. This is a generational problem. This is a 100-year problem we're faced with right now. And then the other fix is the Republican Party needs to be cleansed. It is completely 100% corrupt, and you will not win elections with the people who are there. They are solely there to enrich themselves. They have no principles. There's probably like 5% of them that are good. I hear these stories all the time. They have no one to go to. I get the whistleblower reports because they would get pushed out or redistricted out, and if they went to anybody, it's so bad. And so the way that can be fixed, and I know a lot of this sounds pie in the sky, is that somebody's got to pony up some money that's not going out for personal interests, like not Ken Griffin buying like, you know, amnesty. Like there needs to be a chunk of money that goes to a shadow organization that is centralized and creates a grassroots chapter in each state that the central organization runs actual research, understands America, builds an America First platform, figures out what the new wave of conservatism looks like, trains people, creates a pipeline, creates a bench, is run by somebody that's actually built something and not some consulting class scumbag, can't be headquartered in Washington, D.C. That organization needs to be put to work immediately, because I already know grassroots types organizations that are so spurned by the Republican Party. They're just trying to do this themselves. They have no air cover. They have no help. They have no support. They have no infrastructure.
Well, I mean, look at InfoWars. Not to wrap myself into it. The left came after us because we were the only thing 9-10 years ago even trying to mobilize a populist conservative culture, because it was so blue blood out of the Republicans, and it got picked up and brought into MAGA, and just Trump talking some of the points got a lot done. And again, I'm not the only game in town. You're right. We need Elon Musk to come in and get with top thinkers and just launch something like that immediately.
Yeah. And he's got to know he's not going to get everything he wants, but it's not going to be fixed from Washington, D.C. It's occupied territory. They got one guy at the head of the Heritage Foundation, and look what happened. They used the first excuse possible. They have a mutiny after this guy.
Total bullying. And Israel sees weakness. The Republican Party is trying to take it over right now. And so I guess in a way it's healthy that's being covered, but it just shouldn't be the only issue we cover. Mark Mitchell, amazing interview. We're raising the bat signal, you know, out to Trump, Elon, everybody. This is serious. Thank you so much.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Oh, now let's all go slit our wrists. I'm not going to commit suicide. They kill me today. I'd never commit suicide. That's a metaphorical thing. It's an analogy. I'm actually going to jump out of a building. I'm joking. All right, folks. We're at the fourth turning, like he said. If stuff goes south, I mean, you're going to be living in a cross between the road warrior and Zimbabwe meets North Korea. I mean, this is not good. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue exclusively at thealexshowstore.com has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Year and a half, had private conversations with Nick Fuentes. And I told him a lot of stuff I thought was going to happen. Most of it came true. So he got a little more, I think, respect for me. I think he's always respected me. And I think Nick's a really smart, funny guy. And, you know, with all the attacks on Christians and conservatives saying we're Satan, our DNA's bad, you can't say anything bad about him when he says all his racist stuff. I mean, just you're the ones that created this atmosphere. I'm not engaged in it because I see where it goes long term. But I told him, just coming up here in a moment with huge news, I told him that you understand that when you derail what Trump's doing, even though it's not perfect, the communists and socialists and Islamists are going to take over. And you understand that as soon as they're in power, we're all going to prison, right? So I'm just saying, you can sit here and do this right now and make all these real salient points, and this is the zeitgeist, this Israel thing. But I said, if Israel disappeared tomorrow, this stuff's just going to continue on. And so that's the discussion I'm trying to have with people. We just had Mark Mitchell, who is super smart. I mean, he's been an executive at the top of all these big companies, huge record. That's why he's become the top pollster since he got into that in the last 10 years. Because it's more than just the polls. It's all the other numbers. It's people on the street. It's business knowledge. It's all the data coming in. And I just kept saying to everybody on and off air, I said, do we really want to blow Trump up? Because people want instant gratification. That's the big problem. And then when Trump does some of the really stupid stuff he's done, saying, you're not my constituents if you investigate Epstein, when there was no evidence of him in that. And the new stuff is the same old stuff. It's not there. But he did it to protect the establishment. So he's not really being a real revolutionary. He is on the economy and the border and sovereignty and trying to get our morale up, and all that's good. But people want indictments. People want revolutionary stuff. And if you won't give it to them, well, the only other place is the communists. And boy, they're going to give it to you. So I literally come on air trying to stabilize the country and the world and trying to not have a nuclear war. I don't approach this stuff about what will make me popular or what's the most interesting thing to cover. I don't do that. That's why the bad guys don't want me on air, because they know the policy wonks, the globalist social engineers that are beyond sociopathic, they tune in. This has come out in their white papers that have leaked. They're like, who's this guy? How does he know this? When they sue me, they're like, who's giving you the documents? Who's telling you our plans? Telling you the plans? You guys write books and white papers bragging about it, you lunatics. You think I don't know how to go read that? So you have the old globalist BlackRock establishment that thinks they're going to bring totalitarianism all over the world, and that somehow will suppress populism. That's going to blow up bigger. Then you got people thinking, well, we'll go the fascist Nazi route. That'll fix it. That's going to blow up horrible. You got the communist socialist route that is probably the worst one. But it's like, do I shoot myself with a 357 Magnum? Or do I shoot myself with a 12-gauge shotgun? Or do I shoot myself in the head with a 30-06? It just doesn't matter what the exit wound and how your brains blow out in the back. You know, like it's some type of art, modern art display, a Jackson Pollock or something. I mean, I just listen. I smelled this. I predicted this. And I guess it's fun to blow something up and then go, oh, look, we've got power. Yeah, you got power to blow it up. But what do you do when you blow up something and you're standing underneath it and it falls on top of you? It's like the old thing about a genie. Genies will trick you. If you ask a genie for 5,000 pounds of gold, you first got to ask it to be put 100 feet in front of you and not on top of you. Or he drops the gold on your head. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Tell listeners how my brain works, just so you can sometimes get a deeper understanding of where I'm trying to take people. So you're tuning in. I'm very honored. You want my perspective, my guest perspective, caller's perspective, your own perspective to be heard. I don't think about what I'm going to cover, about what it'll do for me. It doesn't even enter the question. It's not how my brain works. I think about what is the most accurate, what helps humanity, and also always think multi-steps out, what is this going to do? And if it's the truth, no matter how horrible it is, I always just go ahead and say it. But, you know, should I cover this little factoid? Should I make this my focus? So much of what I do is time constraint. And then I ask, well, is this important enough with the time we have with this great audience to cover it? Like, I know the stuff Congress released is all old news. It actually proves that Trump wasn't having sex with underage girls. We know the whole story. But because Trump handled it so horribly, saying, don't look at it, you're not my constituents, and did all that, is it even worth it to spend, I mean, an hour? It's riveting stuff. It's very interesting. I have all the clips, the witnesses, the victims, the lawyers, and I can show you how the Democrats and the way the cherry-picked these files, they say more is coming, and this is the best they've got. And when you actually know the story, it shows that Trump was the guy that actually first exposed Epstein. But the way they phrase it, it's the opposite. But then I go, does that even matter? Because here's the deal. The public wants the establishment burned down. And they know Israel was involved with the CIA, Mossad. And so because Trump has crapped the bed on his handling of Epstein, should I even rearrange deck chairs in the Titanic on that issue? I mean, I prepared for hours today. I have all these clips, all the background, all the stuff. Even if I don't do it on a live show, I'll go shoot a report on it today. You know, for people that want to see that, it'll be on Rumble, it'll be on X, it'll be on InfoWars. But here's my problem. the great pundit and former lawyer, now lives in Florida, former Canadian, Viva Free. He's here with us, and I wanted to get him on co-host with some of his shows, obviously with the great Robert Barnes, but Viva Fry's here, and I wanted to get his take on X, the Viva, F-R-E-I, on tyranny in Canada. And then I realized, well, wait, 2 hours isn't enough, an hour isn't enough. I mean, just one subject of them killing all these ostriches that got people's attention. It's not that I feel sorry for the ostriches. I mean, I do. It's that they're killing them all to set the precedent when things aren't even sick, like the 200 million chickens or whatever, to kill them here. It's the same globalist plan under the UN treaty. The real story is the UN treaty and medical martial law in Canada. And then I started this morning and last night looking into Canada's tyranny, which I knew pieces of. And I knew all the different pieces of it. And then it gave me a giant roaring headache. And I ended up spending 3 hours. I've been up since 4 a.m. 3 hours. Paul was working out today during breaks and sets. I was getting more information. And I just, it's so horrible that it's indescribable. I mean, we are basically up North Korea to our north right now. Just to read each bullet point would take hours. This is a total takeover. And then I want to get Viva Fry's take on the Epstein thing I just mentioned, and then the elections last week and all of it. So maybe you can just give a 35,000-foot view about the state of the world where you see it at real poll numbers. Trump's the lowest ever. He is tanking massively. After he kicked out Musk, it began. Then the Epstein thing, it accelerated. Now with his statements, it is tanking. And it is just beyond horrifying to me to think about the different scenarios that we're in with the left all stirred up, foaming at the mouth. This is a disaster. Am I being too doom and gloom here?
I mean, you might be talking to the wrong person, because I've been doom-pilled since they actually followed through with the slaughter of those ostriches. It's in a very, very bad situation, everything. And you know, like you say earlier, you don't want to rag on Trump, because the alternative is Kamala full communism and what we're seeing in Canada in the U.S. But you can't give a free pass. And if in giving the free pass or not scrutinizing, you end up bringing about the demise of the current party, which is the last hope. Well, then, you know, giving the pass is the destruction itself in Canada. And people don't understand just how bad it is. People think, oh, you know, they've been culling millions of birds for a little while. Well, first of all, how do you think 20 million people starved to death in Soviet Russia? It's when the government got involved in trying to manage farms and trying to nationalize farms.
And by the way, they said, Kerry, the UN envoy, the U.S. envoy to climate change, he said, we got to cut half the farming or people will starve. They're destroying the means of production for control. Just like Mao, just like Lenin, this is not an accident.
Absolutely not. And, you know, you talk about it. It's the World Organization of Animal Health, a, you know, WEF globalist adjacent entity that's dictating national policy, which is why these birds had to be slaughtered. Now, the 30,000 foot overview, because this is, I've been involved in this.
Let's just start with the ostriches. And I want to go into total bans on speech, 10 years in prison for a gun, letting people that rape 5-year-olds out of jail the next day. No, I mean, it's literally insane what's happening in Canada.
It's anarcho-tyranny, and by design, because they want to provoke mass revolt so they can then just come in with more draconian laws to quell the emergencies, because they were talking about amending the Emergencies Act as well. Okay, back it all the way up. These ostriches, this is an ostrich farm in Edgewood, British Columbia. The birds allegedly had H5N1 infection in December 2024. 60-some-odd birds died, the rest survived. Somehow the CFIA gets a magic anonymous tip 3 days into this outbreak when nobody knows what it is. They come in and say, we got to kill all your birds right now, all of them, even the ones that survived. They appeal the CFIA's decision, go to the federal court. Federal court says, no, the CFIA, this Soviet administrative body that, you know, issues its own rules, interprets its own rules, and applies its own rules, their order wasn't manifestly unreasonable, so we defer to their authority. They appeal to the Court of Appeal. By August, we're 8 months out of the infection. The Court of Appeal unanimously says, yeah, the birds are all healthy now. You can't adduce new evidence as to their health, as to their The antibodies.
And by the way, real researchers, even if they ever had bird flu, it's a fake PCR test, would be slurping the blood to find the antibodies to create a cure for bird flu, like they killed 200 million chickens here that weren't even sick. It's all just an excuse to slaughter and destroy, to destroy the means of production, to collapse society in their own plan.
Absolutely. By the way, they were not allowed to test the birds under penalty of $200,000 fines and 6 months in jail. So the CFIA, two anal swabs, which with a PCR test cycled to 40 in December 2024, they get the go-ahead from the Court of Appeal to slaughter them 8 months later. They appeal to the Supreme Court, and there was a 40-50-day standoff. The CFIA comes in with their armed Gestapo agents at the RCMP. Expropriate the farm. They took over the property of the farm for over 40 days. They took over the neighboring property. They set up, you know, armed checkpoints, and they had custody of these birds. They tortured them for about 40-some-odd days before slaughtering them. One of the birds died from dehydration, malnutrition, because the CFIA doesn't know how to deal with
hostages. Let's just be clear. They're healthy. You're almost a year out. It's nothing but a giant power grab test. And if they can do it to birds, they can do it to humans. And we already saw COVID and the incredible tyranny in Canada and other areas. And they're admitting they're trying to bring it back. And it's a WEF UN affiliate program that the government listens to and your government signed on to the UN treaty. So you're under it. And this is a window into our future, folks. This is a big deal.
Absolutely. And World Organization of Animal Health, the animals had been healthy. And by the way, the stamping out policy is, well, if they've ever become infected or tainted, then they all have to be killed. We'll get to the medical side of this afterwards.
That's what I'm saying. If we ever got COVID now, we have to be killed.
Well, and incidentally, they've been doing it to cull chickens. They've been doing it to cull cattle. There's an animal rescue that is now facing problems. I'm going to be checking in on that story. Supreme Court says we're not hearing the appeal. It's dismissed. And within 12 hours, I say, like, you know, like horny kids running to lose their virginity, or like alcoholics running to an open bar. The CFIA goes in there in the dead of night without any warning, just slaughters them all. They fired something like 900, 1,000 rounds because they had built a kill pen and they had all these ostriches in a kill pen for about 6 hours, 1,000 rounds. They sat there massacring these ostriches, which were such a health risk. They couldn't, you know, they had to be quarantined. They couldn't be retested. They had to be killed. They slaughtered them, their blood, guts, and gore everywhere. They left their carcasses out for days. Scavenger birds, whatever, if they were a risk, open to that. Then they took the blood-soaked hay, the RCMP, and just started spreading it around the neighboring fields after they tracked all the mud in and out.
Yes, yeah, so let's be clear. Do not test, because we know they never had it to begin with. They're healthy. But now we're going to splatter their blood everywhere. So this is, and then there's the videos of the police coming, federal police, and threatening journalists to put him in jail if they cover what's happening.
His name is Chris Dacey. I had him on the channel. He's great. They say, this is doxing and harassment. You know, you're recording us. And I'm a journalist, first of all. And second of all, you want to anonymize yourselves while you literally slaughter animals, confiscate private property, and terrorize your citizens. That is a terrorist organization. The RCMP, the CFIA, and the Canadian government are, by their own definitions of terrorism, a terrorist organization. They cause undue suffering, psychological harm for political ideology, and so that they could just not admit that they were wrong and let these birds live. Now, it's worse than that.
They pick these things as litmus tests to move the Overton window. And if they can make our kids wear masks and make people, you know, play their saxophones inside bubbles, it's all about, they admit, it's been declassified, seeing how much ridiculous stuff they can get us to do.
How much ridiculous stuff they can get away with, and how much they can get the support of so-called liberals, scientists who are state-funded. You know, I've been having a Twitter war with one of the scientists who was on a CBC explaining why this cull was absolutely necessary, because it's too expensive to test the birds again. And even if they test them, you get false negatives, and they could still be shedding a year later, so they've got to be killed. And you find out, A, this is a state-funded scientist on state-funded media justifying state-sanctioned terrorism. This is fascism in its truest form, in its truest definition. Some of these birds look like they've been decapitated from what people were saying on the ground.
Anthropomorphize this, and I care about animals, but now you've got state-sponsored killing of kids that are in government custody because the government's the ward. So I want to move now out of that with just the raft of super ultra-draconian stuff, all run by the former head of the Bank of England, who says he's not even Canadian on national TV, says he's European. You have a total globalist. They replace a puppet with his actual boss, Mark Carney, And they are putting the clamps in. They are shutting it down. I talked to someone today in Canada. I'll sleep with that I know. And they got a divorce. And they're just trying to get dual custody. They have no criminal record, no problem, anything. But in the divorce, they brought up with her two children. They're young. They just brought up, did you know that she created a piece of art? It's a well-known artist that supported the trucker convoy. And the judge was ruling for her. And he went, hold on. He looked at her, he said, you're kidding. And then ruled against her just for being involved politically. Now you don't get your kids. I mean, the Canada's bad, man. I mean, Canada's bad.
People say it's just ostriches. They do it to birds all the time. First of all, there are different types of birds. You know, chickens grow fast and you can compensate for the head of a chicken relatively easily. These ostriches were 35 years old in the family farm for 35 years. The reason why it's particularly atrocious, other than the whole cycle.
No, it's like a parrot is not a chicken. It's a smart bird. It's your friend. These are members of the family.
Absolutely. But there was scientific medical value to these birds because they were using them. They were discovering antibodies that could have been used to fight COVID. And the fact that these birds survived an alleged H5N1 outbreak meant that they had antibodies that would be of scientific value. My conspiracy theory, and it's going to pan out to be true, is that the flock that the CFIA had custody over was supposed to be 330 as of the time they took custody. There were clearly not 330 carcasses or ostriches the day before the slaughter. And so I'm convinced they smuggled some of the hens out who have scientific value after they killed all of them.
I think it's worse than that. This all broke a year ago, right before the election when they were hyping bird flu. I bet some operative working at the thing gave them some, probably did give them H1, they probably did do it. And then they were planning it to be much worse, but because all the birds didn't die, didn't work, they want to get rid of the evidence of whatever synthetic. I mean, we're speculating now, but who knows with these people?
Well, that's actually a much smarter theory than what I had, because there were some questions as to how they even got infected from the court decision in the Court of Appeal. It says an infected flock of ducks came to a pond nearby. They got infected, and then an anonymous tipster notified the CFIA before the farm even knew what the hell was going on. So possible.
Well, listen, I'm only speculating there. I'm just saying, watching a weird, focused, bizarre government activity like this, there's usually something else behind it.
1,000%. And even at its most, simplistic level, they've showed you do not have private property. They will come and literally kill your animals. And it's only a matter before they go to dogs and other animals. And people, some people were saying this is what they wanted to do to the unvaccinated during COVID. And people think that's too hyperbolic. That's too crazy. Well, get into the assisted dying in Canada.
Yeah, let's do that. But first, Dr. Ryan, the head of the UN's Rapid Reaction Force, has said that they're setting the precedent with culling of animals for humans. So all of this is a beta test. And they'll say, get rid of your dog and cat. They have a bad carbon footprint. What are you going to do, folks, when they say, oh, bird flu, which they're saying is happening, jumps into your dog or cat, and they order you all to kill your dogs and cats? Or some government person comes and aims a PCR test at them and turns it up to 40, and the air says it has it. No, I mean, they want human sacrifice. They want fealty. They want, when they say jump, you say how high. And I'm telling you, that's where this is going.
We're already there in Canada because there's a number of people.
Yeah, let's explain. You're now the global leader, even surpassing the Netherlands, in quote euthanasia. Explain how far you've gone.
It's when Forbes comes out with an article that refers to it as, Nazi era eugenics, you've crossed a certain Rubicon here. What was it now? It was the fifth leading cause of death in Quebec. It might have even been the third. I just don't want to make a mistake on that. It's one of the top five causes of death because they've expanded it basically to anybody and everybody, even if you're not terminally ill. I know people in Quebec who were not terminally ill, who got medical assistance in dying because they were lonely and they were depressed. I would say not in small part because of the COVID tyranny and psychological abuse. So it was so bad in Quebec, a Daily Mail article came out a little while ago and they had to tamp down their euthanasia. They want to expand it to mature minors. They want to expand it to the mentally ill. People who are mentally ill who cannot contract to certain legal contracts can contract to having their lives taken away from them.
I was about to say, analysts, I agree with them. As the transgender thing peaks, and it's still going to be there for a while as a cult they run, now they're moving on to assisted suicide of children, saying the state is really the guardian, so the state orders the death. It's not even an euthanasia now of a consenting adult.
It's state-sanctioned murder. And the funny thing is, I say it's funny in a sick way, I once got into trouble. Someone filed an anonymous complaint against my Quebec Bar Society license because I put out a tweet that said Justin Trudeau murdered 10,064 people this year under euthanasia. And then I get a call from the Bar Society saying, you know, Viva, well, they say they call me David. It's not exactly true. And it's like, first of all, it's exactly true. And the guy on the other end says, well, he didn't really kill them, did he? It's like, oh, so would you like me to clarify that I didn't mean he did it with his own hand? And he said, yeah, that would help. So I put out a clarifying tweet. Yeah. 10,064 people were killed by the Trudeau administration. I think it was 2022. Trudeau did not do it with his bare hand, because if he did it with his bare hand at an hour a patient, it would have taken more than a year. It's insanity. And they, by the way, in conjunction with presumed organ donor laws in New Brunswick and another province in Canada, you know exactly where it's going. They get vulnerable people who have no representation for themselves in the hospital system. It's either medical assistance in dying.
Well, it's already come out in the emails and recordings where they pressure people that have broken backs and stuff and tell them, we're not going to give you your medication. We're not going to give you any help. Just agree to die next week.
They put to death a woman in Ontario who had multiple chemical sensitivity, which is just extreme allergies, because she couldn't get adequate housing that would be amenable to her multiple chemical sensitive. This is not a woman who was terminally ill. It's state-sanctioned murder. And then there was once upon a time an advertisement from a company called Simons. You know, their retail clothing, what the hell they're dipping their toes into euthanasia for, who knows. They made a video dedicating it to this young woman who opted for medical assistance in dying. And it was called Life is Beauty or All is Beauty, whatever.
I saw it. Yeah, it's how wonderful she is, yeah.
She wasn't terminally ill, and she didn't want to kill herself. She just said, I can't get health care, so maybe I can get death care. And so they're literally killing their own population for economic expedience. And then at the same time saying, well, now we don't have enough people in the country to make the system work. We've got to import people from India, Pakistan.
Sure, but let's just be clear. Since the 70s, 60s really, Logan's Run and Soylent Green, and then, you know, right through to Children of Men, they show you this world that's literally where we are now, and then they admit with Paul Ehrlich and stuff, they did all that to get you ready. You see those movies, that's not a dystopia to them. That's here's the ad you're talking about, how wonderful she's going to kill herself. And she wasn't even sick. I mean, this is crazy. So where are they trying to take us? Just no human life, no value. What is it?
It's absolute total subservience to the government. It's going to get you to the point where your life is so miserable, you might choose to off yourself, and the government will gleefully help you do it and then harvest your organs after. And it sounds crazy as I say it. It's the current reality. It's Avery's Law out of New Brunswick, which had a laudable purpose to begin with, but they have presumed organ donations where you don't even have to be dead. An expert at the hospital, I forget what the name is, can deem you to be close enough, and they can start harvesting your organs. So it's dystopian to say the least. But it's about this. I mean, it's a globalist agenda that Canada has been overtaken by globalist interests.
I think it's fair to say, other than the UK and the Netherlands. Well, Germany's bad too. Who's the worst? If you aggregate all the substratas together, who's the worst? I mean, of a country that's not totally fallen. I mean, now South Korea's communist. They arrest you if you criticize communism. What's the worst Western country falling right now? I think Canada's in the running.
Canada is in the running, and it's a little bit near and dear to my heart because, I have a relationship with Canada. It's like watching someone you love die, a slow, decrepit death is what's happening in Canada, and is getting faster and faster. Australia, I don't know. It's like, it seems to be all of the parliamentary systems or the Commonwealth countries that are falling at a rapidity that is, it's beyond measure. But what the government of Canada wants is full control, full surveillance, full subservience, and they want you to ask for it. And the problem is they're getting a lot of people in the system to ask for it, to justify it, and to condemn those. They call me radical, Alex. I mean, it's the most insane thing on earth that you say, I have a love for life, and I have a love for all things that are living. And if you have to kill something, look, I eat meat. Kill for consumption is one thing. Kill for control. Kill because the Soviet government never admits that they arrested an innocent man, so they need to make that person guilty, innocent as they were, because that's what Soviet regimes do.
Well, they know their evil system's coming to an end, so they're putting in pure totalitarianism, and they're making it as ridiculous as possible to move the Overton window to, even if we push back, we never push back all the way. So they really want to get us here, but they go all the way over here.
Well, they want someone to snap. I mean, the provocativeness and the egregiousness of the slaughter, bullets ringing out in the night without even giving any warning to the family. They wanted someone to snap so they could then say, look at these savages. They don't even know it's for their own good. And now we need to come down with more emergency powers to allow us to govern
exactly. There was an uprising against a thing to stop the bird flu authorized by the WEF and UN. Again, what's a WEF group doing seizing people's land for months and then killing their ostriches that were totally healthy? That right there is the power grab. I mean, we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be shut down. They have a state receiver. Said it could be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The last beacon of
truth in a world of deception. It's Alex Jones.
Well, maybe not the last weekend I didn't write that liner, but definitely one of the longest standing and most attacked and most successful. Thanks for your support. Just briefly, because I've done a really bad job plugging today. Today is the last day to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid. It's so amazing, so good for your body. Such clean energy with no letdown. Buy one, get one free, and a free Richardson badass trucker hat. Those are like $35 in stores. Cost us like $15. With any order, not just a methylene blue order. Anything else you get at thealexjonesstore.com, get this free murdered out hat. Instanite, midnight, that supports the broadcast. All right, going back to Viva Fry on what's going on in Canada, which, again, is the model for the rest of the world. You're going to finish up on my point about how suspicious this was with the bird flu up there. And then all the other tyrannies coming down in Canada right now. The only other place I see it moving this quickly, we can debate who's the worst, is the UK. But you have Carney, literally an agent of the British government, doing this, so it's part and parcel of the same operation.
People don't seem to recall this, and you know, I'll place much blame on Pierre Poilievre, the so-called leader of the so-called conservative, so-called opposition party. Mark Carney has three passports: Canadian, British, Irish. He's a WEF stooge of the highest order. He's a Bilderberg invitee. This is not a man who, like, you know, pays for the tickets and attends. He's an invitee. This man is a globalist who's been living in the UK for the last 10 years. He was Justin Trudeau's financial advisor or advisor to the Trudeau administration for, like, I don't know, say 4 years, give or take, under COVID. This man is a globalist who moved to the UK not far from the Tavistock Gender Clinic, where his daughter attended. I don't think she attended the gender clinic side of the Tavistock Clinic, but she went there.
We have a clip of him a few years ago saying, "I'm not Canadian, I'm European."
Well, and you got Justin Trudeau saying there's no Canadian core identity, so let's just bring in tens of millions of foreigners who don't even speak the language. So you have enclaves in Canada where people don't speak the language. You have the York Regional Police issuing official police videos in Punjab. There was another report that came out that said, you know, it was a Liberal commissioned report that said, you know, by 2040 or whatever, Canadians might have to resort to foraging the wild for food. You see that now with the people that are being brought into the country, illegally poaching fish out of rivers with nets, breaking all sorts of wildlife laws. But, you know, it seems that the law only applies to law-abiding.
Oh, I've seen the videos where an indigenous Canadian, literally Native American or, you know, French or people who were there for hundreds of years, they throw the book at you for nothing, and then the Indians, God bless them, poop in the street, throw garbage on the street, they're hunting out of season, and the police just go, well, they're not white, so it's okay.
It is the soft bigotry of low expectations or just bigotry, but it's anarcho-tyranny. The easiest ones to oppress are the ones who follow the law. The most difficult ones to oppress are the ones who don't know the law or don't care to follow the law or don't think they have to follow the law. When you've got Khalistanis in Canada saying, this is our land now, Europeans go home. It's by design.
And what about 10 years in prison for a gun? They register the guns, then of course take them. We knew that would happen. Isn't it coming to a point where Canadians will just be forced to stop following all these unconstitutional laws or illegal laws?
They're going to be forced to, yes. They're going to have no choice other than to flee or to comply and be unarmed while armed criminals who have real guns. You saw this video. I think it was a York police officer as well saying, you know, there's a lot of break-ins. We've been having a lot of cars getting stolen in Toronto. Just leave your fobs at the front door because these criminals, they have real guns. They're loaded. They just want your stuff. So make it easier for them to take your stuff.
Yeah, leave your keys there. And they're now fining people all over the place when they have cameras on their house.
This was in Hamilton. I think it was Hamilton, Ontario. A guy had cameras on his property pointing outwards because that's what they're there for. And he was told to take them down even though they have helped. This is amazing. I thought that was me for a second, Alex.
And remember, they said because it's racist to have cameras on your house.
No, they said it's an invasion of privacy, as though you have an expectation of privacy when you're on a public road. And it is anarcho-tyranny. They are brutalizing, you know, Canadians so that they either leave or that they just become totally submissive while they literally replace them because they want to double the population by 2100, you know, another 40 million people, and overwhelm and break the system that was already overwhelmed and broken, a healthcare system and You know, and then make it so bad that you just basically opt for death.
But then what about all the anti-free speech? They're trying to codify what they did to the truckers protest. A Bill C-8, Bill C-2.
You can't even keep track.
C-9.
The next one is Bill C-8, I think, because they had Bill C-63, which was the one that sought to basically potentially, you know, have life in prison for advocating for genocide. And they want, you know, life in jail for that. I think that bill died when the last government, you know, had their new election. But they want to have the stronger border bill, which would allow the government to look through your phones, to open your mail, to basically have access to your entire electronic life without any court order. It's for your own safety because we've let in so many freaking terrorists from India and Pakistan, which they have, by the way. I think it's something like 93% of people on terror watch lists crossing into the States are crossing from the Canadian border. Number one import of foreigners is Indian, and they give them student visas where something like 5% default on their visa, if you believe that number, which I don't. And then, lo and behold, you've got 93% of people on terror watch lists crossing into the U.S. from Canada, not from Mexico. And then, you know, but they've created a problem. What's the solution now? Give us more power to literally strip you of each and every right and God-given liberty that you ever had. Freeze your bank accounts. That was ratified. Open your mail. Check your phone. Because it's for your own safety.
Take your guns. So how does Canada get out of this?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a little bit doom-pilled for Canada. And people are saying, Viva, Pierre Poilievre, the leader, so-called leader, the so-called opposition of the so-called Conservative Party. People seem to forget that Conservative Party voted unanimously in favor of the conversion therapy ban, which allows you to talk a straight kid into transgenderism, but doesn't allow you to counsel a transgender kid into straightness. The Conservatives voted unanimously for that. The Conservatives has members of their parties apologizing for their cisgender whiteness on social media, giving re-education to their interns. And the Conservative Party of Canada, and under Pierre Poilievre, didn't say boo. They didn't say one godforsaken thing about the ostrich massacre. Let me correct myself. Pierre Poilievre answered exactly one question on it and said, well, this is just another example of liberal incompetence. Didn't say jack. Now they're slaughtered. Hasn't said jack. There is no opposition party in Canada. There is no Conservative Party of Canada. The joke is the Conservatives are the Liberals going the speed limit. The Conservative Party of Canada makes some Democrats in the States look Republican. And it's Pierre Poilievre lost his own seat in that election, had to be gifted a seat in some riding where it's 80%+ Conservative to make sure he wouldn't lose there, and has said nothing as meaningful opposition to the carny carnage. And I don't know where the savior comes from. You know, I ran for the People's Party of Canada. I've always said Maxime Bernier is a great politician. He's a great person, a bad politician, because he's principled and he will stick to what he believes in, even if it's not politically popular in his riding. Like talking about these equalization payments where Alberta pays more in federal taxes because they got more resources and they redistribute that tax money to Quebec as though Quebec is a poor province. Maxime Bernier doesn't like that, but he's in a riding in Quebec where they do like that. And so he's principled to his own political detriment, but there is no Donald Trump of Canada. There is no MAGA movement of Canada that is susceptible of taking over or, bumping out Carney. There's a movement. There is a trucker convoy movement. There is a separatist movement out of Alberta. There are freedom loving, God loving Canadians. There's just not enough of them. And
I'll say this. Maduro is saying he may leave because he knows we're lined up to take him out. I'm not for regime change, but under Monroe Doctrine, Thomas Jefferson, you know, probably would have already invaded there. I think the CIA will set Trump up, so I think it's very dangerous, but I see where Trump's going. But folks have made the joke, I know Tucker Carlson has and others, we need to liberate Canada. I'm not talking about militarily, but I think culturally, the way Trump handled it, going, yeah, 51st state, we're going to kick your hockey team's ass. He was just having fun. He got great responses from that. You know, when he was running a year ago, but I saw the poll numbers and I saw what they did in the Canadian news. They took the party of Trudeau and Carney that was getting like 15, 20 points in polls and made them win the election, and that Trump should have been, we're going to liberate Canada. We're on your side. You're so great. We want to work with you. We want to be partners. Once we break up these monopolies and end these tariffs, you'll have competition. It's going to be great. But the way he handled it, like, you know, it was the Hathcoys and the McCoys or the, you know, some type of feud or something going on here was terribly done. And I only say that so he doesn't do it again. And now it's a nightmare scenario that's been foisted on Canada. Literally, all the polls showed it by Trump attacking Canadians. And so they rallied around the globalists acting like they were nationalists and saying, we'll stand up to Trump. Very stupid.
Well, I would disagree a little bit. People are going to accuse me of being a Trump sycophant. I would disagree only to the extent that it was a layup for a slam dunk for Pierre Poilievre if he had the political cojones that is required to actually win an election. When Trump did it, whether or not you disagree with it, there was a way to flip it during the election. And I said it. Pierre Poilievre, all he had to do was say, look what the liberals made Trump do.
No. I agree that he took a dive. So he's a big problem. I didn't understand him. I loved his rhetoric, but I got educated. He was bad before the election. I understand that. I agree. He's the main reason. I'm just saying Trump. What should Trump's response be now to try to free Canada? What should our response be?
Well, I mean, it's a tough one. I say, and I said before, to prevent the slaughter of the ostriches, retaliatory tariffs. Canada has become a national security threat to the United States of America, period.
It's the it's the main fentanyl thing now.
The main fentanyl, it's the main source of people on terror watch lists coming in. It's undeniable. It's the main attack on free speech. You know, when J.D. Vance goes to Europe and says, you guys no longer espouse our values, why should we have anything to do with you? I mean, that's exponentially more true up in Canada. And
when I was thinking about you coming on the show today, I was going to open the interview with J.D. Vance is rightly focusing on EU tyranny, UK tyranny. But they need to focus more on Canada because that is literally our northern border and our good, you know, this is on our doorstep.
I don't know if you've ever had Sam Cooper on your show. He's a Canadian journalist, been talking about Chinese infiltration into the Canadian government. It's such a serious problem. And Sam Cooper, everyone should check him out. He's amazing.
Yeah, I know who he is. Let's get Sam Cooper on.
He's amazing. And, you know, he's saying it's such a big problem that U.S. intelligence, U.S. authorities don't want to share intel that they have with the Canadian government because of how badly infiltrated by Chinese.
Well, that came out years ago. It goes right to the Chinese.
Yeah. So the CCP, they say not Chinese people, the Chinese Communist Party. And now it's even true as well of the Indian government and Khalistani terrorist organizations, which, you know, they're operating illegal, in these mansions, these gambling dens, which they use to garner blackmail material on Canadian politicians.
Yeah, let's be clear. They got hot girls with sandwiches that are really hookers. You come in, if you're a politician, even a sheriff, whoever, or, you know, local official, they go, hey, you got extra credit, you got extra stuff, but now we got a favor.
Mm-hmm. They have Canadian politicians, either voluntarily or by coercion as agents to the Chinese Communist Party and foreign interests and globalist interests. I mean, Theresa Tam, the head of our Canadian health, I don't care what anybody says. That woman, and some people think she's not a woman, but I don't take that angle.
But she's literally a communist totalitarian.
She's a communist totalitarian who was talking about draconian lockdown measures a decade ago. She's literally serving foreign Chinese interests and imposing them on Canada. Set aside whatever connection Canada had to the outbreak in the first place, because we had two Chinese scientists who escaped and absconded to
Clear. The UN decades ago said, we'll use viruses for global dictatorship. China's the main funder of the UN other than us now. They're piggyback. This is the plan. And she's up there. We played the videos a decade ago saying, yeah, we're going to use viruses to bring in total tyranny.
Absolutely. And they've done it. Medical coercion, total tyranny. And you have a political leader who's, I don't even think that Poilievre is feckless anymore. I think he's in on it. Like, I sincerely believe the only thing that could explain his silence during the ostrich crisis, which cost them popularity, is that he's in on it. He's somehow complicit with whatever pharma interests had a hand in that. Because there's the World Health Organization aspect of it. As far as I'm concerned, there's also a big pharma aspect where I would have no doubt or not be surprised at all if this turns out to be a big pharma heist. They wanted those birds. They wanted that technology. And so they, Moderna and Pfizer, you know, who have massive contracts with the Canadian government. Moderna's getting a $500 million super vaccine lab being built in Laval just outside of Montreal. If they said that that's got science that we want, find a way to get it to us and find a way to make sure nobody else has it. And that's why Pierre Poilievre didn't say a gosh.
By the way, I just surmised that they would have antibodies, which they would if they survived. Did I hear you right that they were doing it was a research facility for that?
Apparently, in 2021, because people think the ostrich farm was for meat. Once upon a time, they used it for meat, but, you know, yeah. Also.
No, we raise them, emus and ostriches for meat in Texas, too. Yeah, I don't know about the
I've eaten ostrich. I eat ostrich. Go look at my playlist of ostrich egg videos. It's quite funny. But so when COVID hit, they started doing research with COVID antibodies. There's an article from 2021.
Okay, well, there you have it. There you have it. All right, Viva, we want to get you back up with us again soon. People can find Viva Fry, and that's spelled F-R-E-I, the Viva Fry on X, vivabarnslaw.locals.com, and it does other shows. Love you, brother. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for spreading the word.
Oh, boy. All right. I did not get to the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. I mean, I covered it, but I didn't do the deep dive here. And I said this earlier in the hour. I said, or last hour, I said, should I even defend Trump on this? I'm asking myself that right now. Because he's not involved with these underage girls. Days of evidence to even cover. And the new stuff they brought out, that's the top story everywhere. Oh, God, he's caught red-handed. And you read it, and I already know the backstory. It's exculpatory. It makes Trump look good. Because it's what happened. And they would have already used this stuff on him if they had it. So it's an interesting story. It shows how the corporate media lies and spins. I think we already know they do that. Should I even do this? Should I show all the different lawyers for the victims saying they never saw Trump? Should I show how they're spinning what really happened? Because Trump, with Ratcliffe, for Israel and the CIA, not just Mossad, are covering it up for national security because of how many big corporate leaders are involved, and it's not Trump. So I've said it. I'm not holding my nose on Trump. He's in there. He's way better than Kamala, but I'm going to cover this stuff. His administration is covering up the intel connections and the head of Harvard and all these other hedge fund people, most of them Democrats, almost all of them, because Trump has been convinced it's too damaging to bring out. And then there's some back leverage on the bad guys like the King of England and his brother to make them play ball. Well, it don't look like they're playing ball. Doesn't look like your blackmail worked too good because it's being used on you. And that's why Trump's so pissed, which I said that's one of the things he might do is either brings it all out, damn the torpedoes go straight at him, justice be done by the heavens fall. That's what I'd do. Or he tries to manage it because, you know, he didn't want to bring down the whole country. Well, the cover-up is what's going to bring down the country. So I already war-gamed this. I hit it. Hole in one. And I guess I'll just go through it quickly. And maybe I'll do a longer report because it's I did so much preparation for this. It's hard to just kind of skim over it. Which still, my skimming over it will be the deepest dive anybody does on it. Which is, again, super frustrating because I see all these idiots that don't know anything. And I'm not saying that from pleasure. I'm like, why do I know so much more than everybody? I have a really good memory. That's why. And this is what I do. Other people just see a trend, jump on it, kind of parrot it. They don't know what they're talking about. They're a mile wide, an inch deep. They're all hat and no cattle. So it's on record that Epstein posted at least two teenage servers, waitresses, ice cream scoopers, you know, just people running food vending tables, you know, buffets, out of Mar-a-Lago. Trump got mad. Epstein kept doing it. Trump's wife got pissed. Trump's staff came to him. He kicked Epstein out of the club. This has been known for 15, 16, 17 years. I got all the articles, all the admissions, okay? Yeah, he knew Epstein. They did real estate stuff twice on record. It was in the local news. Epstein and Trump went and looked at properties, and they fought over who could buy this apartment complex, this house. So they had this falling out over him scooping girls out of the Mar-a-Lago, and they had this falling out over real estate deals, fighting with each other over houses, because that's what Trump really does. He's obsessed with not baseball cards, pieces of property. And boy, was he right back then to be buying it all up. He went and bought Mar-a-Lago 40-something years ago, and it was dead. Now it's the hottest real estate in the world, that whole area. So they're like, oh, and so the emails are like, oh, he was with Epstein. And you go look, it's a house they were buying or whatever, you know. So, you know, that Trump was fighting him to get. So Trump came out and said Democrats were trying to bring up the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. Now, see, you just say, the Jeffrey Epstein's not a hoax. You mean the hoax that you're involved. See, he never does it subtly. Because they'll do anything at all to deflect on how badly they've done on the shutdown. And so many other subjects. Only a very bad or stupid Republican would fall in the trap. The Democrats cost our country $1.5 trillion with their recent annex of viciously closing our country. All true. While at the same time putting many at risk of plane crashes, you name it. And they should pay a fair price. There should be no deflections to Epstein or anything else, and any Republicans involved should be focused only on opening up our country and fixing mass damage caused by the Democrats. It should say, trying to connect me to Epstein, a very real case, is a hoax. But he did it again, folks. That's because he's not stupid. The CIA has gotten him to agree to cover it up. And that's wrong. Now, on the chain of guilt, he's down at the bottom now. But he wasn't involved before. Now he's in the compendium, and it's a big strike for me on Trump. I get he's the president, has a lot of big decisions. But I, in my own life, have had to make decisions where I don't compromise on what's right and wrong. Now, let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Jeffrey Epstein alleged in emails that Trump knew of his conduct. Well, it turns out we have the emails now, and this is the best they had. They say in a couple days, a week, they're going to release it all. But the first thing they release is Epstein talking to the guy writing an anti-Trump book, Wolf. And it's, yeah, Trump was really mad. I was getting girls out of his club, and, you know, his wife was mad. Everybody else was mad at me. And so he dropped a dime on me. That's what the emails say. I'll show them to you. But when you read Drudge Report or watch CNN, it's, oh, Epstein emails claim Trump knew about the girls, spent hours with the victim. Well, yeah, they worked at Mar-a-Lago, and the victim said Trump never did anything to him, and the other victim said that, and out of the hundreds, only two were ever at Mar-a-Lago. But you read these headlines, you think he's totally guilty. And then here are the emails. And here's where people spinning it. Oh, so basically Michael Wolff knew that Trump was a pedophile. That's not been said here, but see, that's the left. The whole time was helping Jeffrey Epstein strategize how to capitalize on it, which means Michael Wolff is just as guilty as the rest of them. Then you read this, he's talking to Epstein, and he's like, no, Trump wasn't involved. No, Trump knew I was scooping girls out. That's why he came after me. But he knew. Okay, all right. We already know this. Read Jeffrey Epstein's newly released emails about Trump. So they're acting like this is this huge deal. But when you read into the articles and you read the actual quotes of people, they're all saying Trump's completely innocent because they don't want to get sued and they know it's not true. But the headline, look, did Donald Trump inform on Jeffrey Epstein? This is from years ago. And you got Wolf saying it, you got Epstein saying it. That's when they had the falling out. Trump banned Jeffrey Epstein from Mar-a-Lago for hitting on a girl. That's 2020. And you can read the lawyers and the women and all of them saying, no, they were never alone with Trump. But it doesn't matter because the headline says that, you know, Trump is basically screwing kids. Republicans face Jeffrey Epstein reckoning as end of shutdown looms. And now it's out and they release the best thing they've got. And it's nothing. I'm going to come back with some key clips and more on this. But I just showed you all the exhibits. Go read it for yourself. Don't forget, today's the last day to get one bottle of methylene blue and get another one free.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Big top headlines everywhere. Oh, Congress releases some of the Epstein files. And you know it's the worst stuff they've got. And we know all about all of it. Trump going around a few times looking at houses being sold and trying to find out what Epstein's going to offer on the house. And then, you know, the two fight with each other and screwing each other out of real estate. I mean, that's what these guys do. And but then it's, oh, he's with him, you know. Trump knew. Well, yeah, Trump found out he was scooping 15-year-old girls out of the club and went and kicked him out. But again, the headline, Trump knew. And then, yeah, he knew and did something. This is the same media that said Trump said the KKK are very fine people. He said the KKK are not very fine people. But it doesn't matter because they just tell the lies so many times. Just like I went and peed on graves of dead kids in Connecticut. Not only did I not do that, not only is there no proof, no one did. It doesn't matter, though. People read that headline like, come on, you pissed on graves. There's no way ABC News is saying that. I've never been in Connecticut when they were saying that. So see, I've been through this. And I predicted this is what they would bring out. I predicted it would be the same crap. Giuffre, all of it. Who said Trump never even really talked to her? She saw him at Mar-a-Lago. And that she thought Trump was nice. And the other woman that worked there. So this is all about headline manipulations. AP, Epstein email says Trump knew about the girls. And then it goes on. I showed you the emails to say he got pissed and kicked me out of the club. Remember the Democrats? And I believe they did it. They sue us. They want emails connected to Sandy Hook. They get a couple hundred thousand that had that word in it, or a few other words. They find a hidden child porn link in one of email we never opened. They find the hidden scanned link using metadata, run the headline, Alex Jones sent child porn to Sandy Hook families. The FBI, to their credit, issued a letter saying, no, Mr. Jones is a victim of this. But when I got up in the fake show trial, they got up and said, you sent child porn to the families, didn't you? And I said, no, you subpoenaed me for unopened emails and made a big deal about it. But that's what they do, folks. I mean, I'm not saying they planted it. They're nice people. So here is Brad Edwards, one of the main lawyers for a whole bunch of the confirmed victims, explaining that back in 2004, 5, 6, only Trump helped him. That of everybody involved at any level, only Donald Trump, just like he blew the whistle to the cops and got the first time Epstein got indicted, convicted, and imprisoned in Florida, it's admitted it was Trump. The headlines are, did Trump put him in prison? You read the article, yeah, he did. So the guy that found out and put him in prison is the guy that's guilty because he knew. Because he knew and exposed it. I'm going to come back and play this clip. I've got so many more. The truth deserves defending. But if I have to talk about Trump and Epstein, I have to then say Trump is covering up for the CIA Mossad and this operation and these leaders that were involved that we know. And that's from the highest levels. So it's very paradoxical that, yeah, the Democrats are the main authors. They're the bad guys. But you get into something this evil, you can't like, well, you know, he didn't screw the kids, but he's covering it up now. And you're like, well, what do you do then? The Democrats are the ones actually doing it. You support them? No. It gives me a headache. Yeah, I'm morally like praying about like, God, what do I do? And God's like, just tell the truth and just don't worry about it. So that's what I'm going to do. And they're going to release all this stuff the next week or so. And it's going to be a whole bunch of recycled bullcrap. This is the best they had. And I was right again. Stay with us. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
From Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
All right, so finishing up on the Epstein thing, absolute nothing burger. Congress releases the best stuff they've got. And it's Epstein. No, he wasn't involved, but he knew because he kicked me out of the club because of it. That's the emails I showed him to you. But the headline is, he knew. AP, Reuters, everywhere. So here's Brad Edwards, one of the main attorneys for Epstein abuse survivors, including Giuffre and others, saying, no, only Trump over a decade ago helped them when nobody else would. It was Trump originally blew the whistle, which makes it even more sick now that he's the one calling all the hoax and saying shut it down because the deals have been made behind the scenes for the deep state, I believe. But it is Trump that banned him from Mar-a-Lago. So that's just the reality. Here's a clip.
One more question on that document, and this goes to the more salacious rumors, but I would like you to just, whatever you can say on it. Obviously, our current president has had relationships with Epstein in the past, and there are those, Katie Johnson and maybe other victims who have accused Trump of being involved in things like this. In my experience, Trump supporters will not listen to anything along those lines. Obviously, we're not a court of law here right now, but are those claims, though that case was dropped, it was dropped before it went to court, in your opinion as a lawyer and your experience, is there anything you can say as to the validity of those claims or whether or not there will be any, you know, any more about that?
Nothing at all. The only thing that I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I was going, that I wanted to talk to them, he is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know. And was very helpful in the information that he gave, and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us, sure, and that we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
That was in 2009?
That was in 2009. So,
do you know if there's any truth to James Patterson's claims that Trump kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago?
I've definitely heard that. Yeah. I definitely heard that, and I don't know that it was Trump himself, as opposed to a manager there.
Trump's club, so yeah, people credit him.
Trump's, I've heard the rumor that Epstein was kicked out of there for allegedly trying to pick up somebody's daughter or something like that, but I think I did chase that down, sure, as far as I could, and never was able to confirm it, but I heard it.
And Epstein told Wolf in the book, no, Trump kicked me out. Trump knew, and he kicked me out. But they just tell you Trump knew. See, that's that word game where they cut off the full meaning of it. There are a lot of fine people in Virginia at the rally, but not the KKK. They weren't fine people. Translated, Charlottesville, KKK are very fine people, Donald Trump. That's how they operate. All right, Jay Dyer, incredible researcher, takes over for the next 15 minutes. Then we're going to have Harrison Smith knocking out of the park. The War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. today. Remember, you're the Info Warriors. You're awake. That's great. That's awesome. Now wake up others, share the live feed, share the clips, share the articles. We're working hard here, and we're toe-to-toe with the globalists. This is so close, so maximum effort is needed right now. Please remember, today is the last day. We need your support. Plus, these are incredible products. Any of you on the fence, despite all the rave reviews and what you've seen about our Ultra Methylene Blue, the best methylene blue, you're insane. It's so good for you. Such great energy. We don't let down. You want to get it, and now's the time you've been on the fence to get it or to restock if you loved it. Oh, look at Jay Dyer's taking his right now. Punch him up. There he is. Ha ha. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. It'll make sure we stay on the air, even when they shut down InfoWars, which is very close. Buy one bottle, get one free, ends tonight at midnight, and you get a free murdered out collectible InfoWars Richardson hat, highest quality, not just with methylene blue, but t-shirts, any other supplements, you name it. Tonight is the night. It ends. This is a very special sale, the only sale ever, with a buy one, get one free, and a free hat. TheAlexJonesStore.com. So here's what happened when Russell Brand this Saturday took it. This is a short clip, and then Jay Dyer takes over on the other side.
The incredibly positive health effects of methylene blue are well documented. RFK Jr. has promoted it. He takes it daily. But I got to tell you, I had taken it 7 years ago. My medical doctor recommended it. He said, just get a USP brand that means medical grade. And I bought it on Amazon. Had almost no effect. But when our sponsor, Bigly, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, came out with theirs 8 months ago, made in Florida by a literal laboratory, it blew me away and changed my life. The clarity, the focus, the energy with no letdown has been insane. And in the last 8 months, you've seen everybody from Roseanne Barr to you name it, take the product and just have absolutely insane clarity and energy effects generally in about 30 minutes. That's incredible. But everybody that I know that's taken it, that I've checked back with, has long-term effects in the first few weeks and months that just build up. Better workouts, better clarity, better sleep, better focus. It's simply insane. Experience what Patrick Byrne experienced. Experience what Stuart Rhodes experienced. Experience what all these other individuals experienced when they took this incredible product in capsules and the liquid at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And then when you experience it, tell your friends and family about it and tell them about the broadcast so they don't just get this great product and the great effects, they also find the truth. This is a 360 win for everyone.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Feels pretty good.
That is what it feels like. My brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
Yeah!
You better start drinking that methylene blue, son.
But it's not just our in-studio guests that have taken it and been blown away, all of them. It's the callers. It's the listeners. It's a mailman from Rhode Island. Here's just a small sampling of the testimonials of our callers and listeners when they took Ultramethylene Blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew, and everybody has really noticed the effect. I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it.
This is the best product guys have ever had.
I feel like I'm 25.
Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
We only sell supplements that are documented to absolutely blow people away because we want you to have a great effect so you come back and get it again and again. And it's so good for you. So experience what our guests, our families, our friends have experienced themselves by getting ultramethylene blue in capsules and in tincture discounted right now at thealexshowstore.com. Take action, defend the Republic, defend the First Amendment, defend the info war, and empower your body, empower your health, and empower your life. Tonight's the last night. Buy one bottle, get one free in the free baseball cap. Take action now, thealexshowstore.com. And now, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis takes over.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. I'm over here with a blue tongue, tripping out, doing methylene blue all day long. I just sit in this chair and I just methylene all day long. And I just get a download from the creator of the universe because of the methylene blue. It's a sacrament. I'm kidding, but I do use the methylene blue basically all throughout the day. I have to sit here and do podcasts and live streams all day long, every day, pretty much. And, I probably wouldn't be able to do that without a dose of methylene blue every few hours. It really does work. It's great stuff. I've been using the methylene blue for about 2 months and I want to actually try the methylene red very soon. So be sure and get some of that in the Alex Jones store. I want to talk about religious engineering and how there's a stranglehold on people in the West and actually in a lot of places in the world, not just the West, but that stranglehold is there because we have given into being dumbed down. We've given into degeneracy. We've given into being idiots and being weak. That has allowed people to trample on us. Jesus says, you know, the salt loses its savor. It's worth nothing but to be tossed out and trampled upon. And that's happened to a lot of us in the West, especially because we've lost our way. The historian Oswald Spengler predicted that Western man would create the most amazing technology. And then the third world would come in and take that technology and oppress him and suppress him with it. And that's unfortunately where it looks like things are going. You know, we wrote an episode of the Sam Hyde Show called Dear Elon, and then we wrote Dear Vivek. And those went viral. They got millions and millions of views. One of them got, I think, 25 million impressions or view or whatever on X. And it was really about the H-1B visa controversy, which has resurfaced today. And I'm not going to talk about that mainly because I think this is another major area of criticism of Trump. What he said about this is just totally not true. The idea that humans are really just replaceable economic units, even something that J.D. Vance has admitted is a valid criticism of this sort of classical liberal ethos that we still live in. Classical liberalism has certain weak points. And when you put the market forces at the front of society, it's really a materialist move. Because there's other areas and other elements that society needs to function, to be healthy, to be successful. Things like having a religious worldview, a paradigm. So for example, we have the Dark Enlightenment guys that are kind of gaining some popularity and some traction. And people from the neo-reaction circles for many, many years have also been a fan of what I talk about. And the reason for that is that people like Curtis Yarvin or Nick Land, they realize a lot of the problems in the Western ethos. Now, the Enlightenment gave us a lot of good things, but it also gave us some problems. The idea that you could universalize all of Western man's experience and sort of import that or export that everywhere is not true. You're not going to get all the societies in the world to adopt constitutional government, to adopt voting, and to these ideas of fair trade, all this kind of stuff. It just doesn't work. Not every society is made even to be the same. And so the universalized ideas, the Enlightenment, all came about prior to things like the discovery of genetics and DNA. Those discoveries had a important role in refuting even some of the Darwinian ideas that you could sort of tailor everything by the environment, right? There's already quite a bit of programming that's in us already by nature. And so nurture isn't the total determiner. There's a balance, a symbiotic relationship between nature and nurture, but two sides of this dialectic were both wrong. And there's a symbiotic synthesis that occurs between these domains. So we live then in this era that the World War II consensus is now beginning to break. People are going crazy and now thinking, oh, well, I guess if World War II wasn't everything that we were taught it was, then I guess now Hitler's a good guy or Hitler's a hero or something like that. So they humans swing to the opposite extremes in every case. And it's very difficult to get a nuanced, balanced middle position. But that's what we have to strive for. So what is it I'm getting at with all this? What am I yapping about? I'm saying that the ethos that we're in, which is becoming postmodern, which is becoming nihilistic, which is becoming destructive, is not accidental. It's something that oftentimes happens in civilizations. Spengler wrote about the fact that eventually societies decay because they have a lifespan. And when they begin to live out that lifespan, they, after that flourishing, begin to have certain patterns that they always display when they start to go bankrupt or when they start to disintegrate. Wellington House and Tavistock actually studied Spengler's writings to weaponize it. Spengler wasn't writing Decline of the West or his other writings to try to tell people how to destroy the West. He felt like it was kind of inevitable as a historian. And then you had people in British intelligence and certain socialists and, you know, the people of the Fabian socialist ilk, John Ruskin, these kinds of characters. Their mindset was that you could create a world federalist socialist society based on the total and technocratic control of man. Back at that time, they thought it would be the British Empire. They thought they could retool and re-engineer the British Empire to be supreme. And even the Rothschilds were part of that. Cecil Rhodes was part of that. And they thought also that they could control Islam, that they could take control of Mecca. They could take control of other holy sites, try to run the Middle East. British Empire, of course, helped create, set the stage for the creation of the nation state of Israel, which we've talked about many times. And they also thought that in order to defeat the Ottomans, one of their rivals, they could make an alliance with radical Muslims or Sunni Islam or Wahhabists. And that is where we get this long-time alliance between the West and even Israel and some forms of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, etc. That continues to this day as we see Jelani, after the fall of Assad, being welcomed to New York, being lauded and praised. Like, I saw him shooting basketball with people the other day. It's like ISIS is playing basketball with Jewish guys or something on Twitter. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but it actually does make sense, because if you read Victor Ostrovsky's book, By Way of Deception, and his other book, The Other Side of Deception, in both of those texts, he'll talk about, yeah, of course, Mossad, of course, Israel has propped up, radical Muslims that would be a destabilizing force in Syria and Lebanon, in Egypt, and against the PLO. So this is old news, long time strategy. And for those that would critique Alex or even myself, I mean, Alex talked about and had Victor Ostrovsky on his show 15 years ago. I was listening at the time when he had him on. They were talking about the Israel sinking one of the flotillas at the time. So this is old news. A lot of this is old news, but people are just now learning these things. And then they think that, oh, you never talked about this because I don't hear you talking about it every day. Well, I got my website, my livelihood deleted in 2018 when I was talking about a lot of this stuff. So it's not true, but whatever. What about Islam? Well, we just saw a Muslim socialist become or get elected as the mayor of New York. And this is everything that I've been talking about in all these fourth hours for years now about Fabian socialism, the alliance with Islam. It's the Fabian socialist in the UK that 100 years ago plus said, we will Islamicize England. And then that will be the pattern for the Islamicization of Europe. And although there aren't as many Muslims in the U.S., that is still part of the strategy. That's why the same Fabian socialists run Canada, Australia, Keir Starmer in the U.K., and now we're getting these socialists in New York. There will be socialists in California. And so the walls are closing in. And that is not antithetical to Zionism. Now, in the long term, you could say probably a lot of the socialist-minded people don't care about Israel or don't care about the nation state of Israel. But in the meantime, there's no problem with that alliance. I'm sure that Netanyahu, I'm sure that people in Israel, they don't care about Hamas or Palestinians being deported to America or being deported to Jordan or wherever. I'm sure they don't care. And as many people have noted, there are many rabbis who have called Islam the broom of Judaism or the broom of Israel. And so they don't have a problem with that. In fact, Count Kudinov Kalergi says that Islam will help destroy Europe and then we'll have one mongoloid race. That's what he wrote in his book, Practical Idealism. It's not racist or mean to talk about what he said would be the plan. And in Carol Quigley's Anglo-American Establishment, he says that Lionel Curtis's plan and Practical Idealism from Kalergi, those plans were both presented to the British establishment, and they agreed that both plans had excellent techniques and strategies for the world order. So religion is a key tool of this system, and Islam is one of the best tools. Judaism, you could say, is a very insular, in-group preference, non-proselytizing religion. So they're not so much interested in going out and converting people. But Islam, which is largely based on copy-paste, mixed-up Bible stories, Gnostic texts, and the Talmud, is a very useful tool. It's not monolithic in the sense that all Muslims believe the same thing, but one of the key books that I read many years ago that I've lectured through for a long time is actually from a Royal Society researcher. It's called Secret Affairs, Britain's Collusion with Radical Islam by Mark Curtis. And so when we read a book like this, we're actually reading a very high level kind of, Brzezinski, Kissinger type of text. This is not conspiracy theorizing. When I cite a book, this doesn't mean that I'm agreeing with everything that the author says. It's odd that I have to say this kind of stuff, but people are just so dumbed down and so low IQ when you start talking about a book. I mentioned Carol Quigley. Oh, you think Carol Quigley is telling the truth? You think he's a good guy? Never said that. I'm citing it as a text that tells us what our rulers believe. Just like if I cite Changing Images of Man and we do a whole fourth hour with Alex and it gets, 1 or 2 million views on X and people start losing their minds and going crazy because I talked about Hitler getting Bank of England funding and getting, industrialist funding. It's like people are just so triggered by these dialectics. But I want to talk about how the elite view these things. What do they write about in their books? We want to understand their perspective. I know that's hard for some people to do, to get out of your little box and think in terms of how other people view things. But Aristotle said it's the mark of an intelligent man to understand an argument without accepting it. And that's what we're trying to do here when we look at these high-level texts and what the elite themselves say. So what does the Royal Society, the RIIA, Royal Institute for International Affairs, say about Islam? Well, this book is written from that perspective. Of course, Britain has colluded with radical Islam as an example for many years. Why would they do that? It doesn't seem to make sense. Why would they support the system or a system that seems to undermine traditional UK English quasi-Christian values? Well, he says at the beginning of the book that there's five key reasons why Islam was used by the British Empire. During the Cold War, it was a powerful bastion against the Soviets. So they could utilize it, much like Brzezinski talked about the Mujahideen being a kind of anti-red, anti-communist muscle. The conservative, quote, muscle, they called it. So they could also use it for destabilization. So it's anti-communist, it's conservative muscle, and it has a very powerful tool within it because it's almost like a death cult, right? You can really engineer people very well to be suicide bombers, whatever. So it's a destabilizing force, especially the Taliban version or the ISIS versions of it, right? It's a proxy military force. You can utilize this force in some other country to fight for you. And it also carries within it political tools. Why? Why was there so much of this utilizing of Islam? Why would the UK care so much about this? Well, from the vantage point of empire, it's all about controlling oil and resources. So obtaining and controlling oil and resources is exactly why they would do it. And even controlling the religious sites ultimately has to do with that. So again, the book is excellent. It's Secret Affairs. I've lectured through this text as well as many other texts just like it. And if you don't follow me on YouTube, please do so. I mean, we cover everything from movies to big geopolitical texts. We do comedic stuff. Follow me, Jay Dyer, on YouTube and on X. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this break.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. We're talking about religious engineering, the collapse of Western narratives, the rise of accelerationism, technocracy, transhumanism, the push of Islam into the West, all of these forces that are intended ultimately to collapse and recreate the West into the image of something akin to a dystopian nightmare. We were talking about Islam being pushed in the West on purpose because it's a tool of the elites that would like to see an absolute demographic change in all the West, not just Europe, but also the United States. And they're very open about that. Replacement migration is real. There were bankers, Peter Sutherland years ago talking publicly in the European news about how to do this, how to engineer this, how to structure this, echoing the 100 years earlier plan from Count Kudenhove-Kalergi in his book, Practical Idealism, which you can all look up and see is very real. Not a conspiracy theory. It's a model of immigration warfare or weapons of mass migration, to quote the Kelly Greenhill military text. So we're talking about these deals and these decisions that were made by the British Empire to structure a socialist possibility of the future. And there were some debates amongst the elites as to how to go about this and how exactly they wanted to structure it. Some of them favored something more akin to a conservative right-wing approach. Some of them, even amongst the British elites, favored Hitler and Nazism. And some of them actually favored more of a socialist communist style. So you've got factions and disagreements amongst the Council on Foreign Relations. Back in the Cold War, there were debates and disagreements. Some of them wanted a rapprochement with the Soviet Union. They wanted a third way where you could synthesize capitalism and communism. Some of them wanted, amongst, I think, the Dulleses, they seem to even like Hitler and his ideas. So there were people in America that supported fascism, Operation Paperclip, etc. There were people in the U.S. that supported Fabian socialism. You had Colonel Edwin Mandel House and President Wilson basically being socialist. You had, you know, the vice president at that time was also socialist, FDR socialist. So America has had these same phases and experiments with socialism. And even though socialism always collapses, a lot of the Gen Z and younger millennials are convinced that capitalism has failed. And so now they want to experiment with socialism. And being dumbed down, being uneducated, they don't know that socialism is actually a tool of the money elite. They think that they're actually going to get a free lunch. They think that they're going to get a universal basic income. They think that technocracy is actually about fairness and actually about everybody getting a slice of the pie. And it's not. It's about enslavement. Ultimately, it is a satanic anti-human philosophy. If you remember in 1984, that's really the point that Orwell is making in that novel, is that INGSOC is English Fabian socialism. It's also modeled on Stalinism, the two together. And it's a boot stamping on the face of man for all eternity. You know, in Bill Joy's famous essay that Alex Jones always quotes, "The Future: Why the Future Doesn't Need Us," if you read the full essay, it's all about how the technocrats have already decided that it's a post-human future. That's what we're up against. That's where we're going. And so he says, "I've had a crisis of conscience, you could say. I'm looking for some kind of an ethic. We need some kind of future ethic that will promote virtue." And he sort of speculates that maybe Buddhism or something like that. So, and I think he even makes reference to things like tragedy and hope. So it's an odd essay. It references a lot of things that you wouldn't expect. A lot of things that you hear me talk about or Alex talk about for many, many years. But he says that the danger is that the future is anti-human. The future is to replace man with some kind of silicon-based life form or something post-human. And with a lot of the philosophers that we've seen being discussed lately, the Curtis Yarvins, the Nick Lands, their idea is, well, we're going to have a sort of technocratic monarchy, perhaps a based in trad CEO city state that supplants the older models of the collapsing Enlightenment narratives. While I agree with the Dark Enlightenment's critique, I don't know that the answer is going to be something like a Nietzschean John Galt CEO that, you know, rules a city state or something like that. I mean, it just seems very unlikely that you can actually construct a society or a civilization that doesn't have some kind of cohesive narrative or worldview. Something that teaches virtue, something that allows families to flourish, something that's pro-human. I mean, even though you might have positive critiques from Yarvin or Nick Land or any of these sort of Nietzschean figures or Nietzschean-minded ideologues, if at the end of the day, nothing is being offered to the society or the civilization beyond tech or beyond arbitrary hierarchy, there's really nothing that actually produces the flourishing. There's no telos. There's no purpose for life. It's, again, just another version of a technocratic model, but maybe not a leftist version or something. So, but for this is very short-sighted of what I'm trying to say. It's very reductionistic, right? And this is common amongst the Silicon Valley technocratic elite types, and Yarvin and Land are very influential on those individuals. Even, you know, Peter Thiel talks now about Christianity, Antichrist, and all this, but it's a lot of the Christian verbiage sort of repackaged and retooled to actually mean Bayes technocracy, supposedly. So, but what is that? Is that really realistic? Well, what happens with a lot of nerdy guys and tech-minded guys and Lord of the Rings fans is that they live in their mind. They're kind of like communists, except that communists think that their ideals can be forced into reality. Or the right-wing technocrat thinks that his fantasy LARP of Lord of the Rings and, you know, living in some sort of a feudal city-state like John Galt, like, it's not reality, because you've got to have something more than the promise of transhumanism or something like that, because humans need worship. They need cycles of life. They need patterns that they go through. So, for example, in the Orthodox Church, we have the liturgical year, the liturgical cycle. We have Christmas. We have Easter. We have Pentecost. We have these very important cycles that reflect not some distant, amorphous, ambiguous future, but also the past. And so you can't have meaning without having grounded, transcendent patterns from the past. One of the strengths of the Christian narrative, even if you disagree with it, is that it talks about where man's coming from, what man's mistakes are, what man's virtues and vices are, and where he's going. So it gives meaning to history. Systems that are nihilistic and technocratic, even if they're right-wing and based, don't give man those things. They cannot of their nature. All they could say is something kind of like communism of, we're looking towards an eschatological end times goal of the withering away of the state, right? That's the communist Marxist promise. Free stuff, do what you want all day long. Maybe eventually the state withers away. And if you go back to older Marxists, classical Marxists, they actually, some of them wrote that technology would be the means by which the state would wither away and man would be able to live freely doing whatever he wants. Many people don't know that classical Marxism is actually libertarian. Yes, you heard me right. I know that many libertarians will lose their mind when I say that, but that's actually true. Marx believed in the withering away of the state. That's the libertarian goal. Marx disagreed on the means to get there and what you do along the way. So certainly he's not principled in any sort of libertarian sense, but he did believe that eventually there would be the achieving of a stateless world and perhaps some kind of utopia. He didn't think this was necessary or determined, but possible. So likewise, the libertarian believes that the best possibility for man is, I don't know, a floating Bitcoin island fortress or something. I don't know exactly what it is, but Galt's Gulch maybe. So both of these are very idealistic. Both of these are very fantasy-based, you could say. And certainly we have to have some realm of imagination and fantasy that allows us to consider the possibilities of what we want to shoot for. But societies, as even Plato understood, can't hold together and can't cohere if there's not at least some common narrative. Plato called it the noble lie, which is a religious deception that you use to kind of hold the society together. The elites, people at the top, the oligarchs, the philosopher kings, they know that it's not really true, but it's very useful to achieve societal cohesion. And the problem is that a lot of these narratives tend to break down, right? The Enlightenment narrative is breaking down. Classical liberalism is breaking down. Monopolistic capitalism is breaking down. Americanism is breaking down. So what do we replace it with? Well, a lot of philosophers, a lot of technocrats are thinking, we will give you the answer. We will give you this technocratic, supposed quasi-utopian option or whatever. It won't be leftist. It'll be based in right-wing technocracy, right? But none of these solutions are actually grounded in anything historical. That's the problem, is that these technocrats and these dorks are so abstract and fantasy-oriented and sci-fi-oriented in their thinking, they act like you can just ignore history and man's origins. Man is just, again, another kind of immovable, replaceable economic unit, and you can just exchange him and interchange him with any other economic unit or product. But that's not true, because man has racial, historical, genetic memories. He has a bloodline. He has a lineage. You know, when you read the Bible talks quite a bit about bloodlines of father of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so. In the Gospels, it's very important that, for example, Jesus be shown to be the descendant of Abraham and the descendant of Adam, because otherwise he doesn't fulfill these promised prophecies of a biological descendant. Now, I'm not saying that everything hinges on biology or that biological determinism or blood and soil or the be-all, end-all, but I'm saying that those things do matter. They can matter. And what most of us don't do is place things in hierarchies of importance. So for many people, especially in America, outside of the idol of football, the idol of politics is their number two idol. Americans believe so intently in the power of politics that it is almost the real religion of Americanism. Americanism is more important than actual church history. It's more important than Jesus. It's more important than all of these things. And that's one of the problems in America, is the idea that our solutions will come either through the market, my GDP, or through political action. Now, am I saying that politics doesn't matter, economics doesn't matter? No, but for many, many people, that is their idol. That is their focus. But you cannot build a civilization. Take, for example, the Christianizing of the Roman Empire. The longest living, most successful civilization in the West was Byzantium. The Byzantine Empire had a flourishing Byzant currency based on gold that lasted for centuries. Eventually, they fell prey to everybody else's temptation, which was to practice money clipping and to debase their currency. Now, we have the possibility in our society of turning to something even better than gold, something like Bitcoin. And Trump kind of seized that a little bit. He changed his mind, and that was a great thing. But then now they've switched. Oh, maybe it needs to be this CBDC to prop up the dollar and, you know, this and that. But that's not the focused laser eyes of the original Bitcoin insight that Trump seemed to kind of be on board with. I'm just using it as an example, because civilizations like Byzantium that flourish, they didn't flourish because of some future-only oriented enterprise or some idealistic promise or something like that. They flourished because Orthodox Christianity helped them flourish. Orthodox churches are tripling. They're growing like crazy. In fact, we just had one of the metropolitans, I think, of the Antiochians, just give an entire lecture on how surprising it is to see this explosion of Orthodox Christianity in America. Now, that is a kind of faith and is a kind of belief system that has tried and true built actual empires in the past. I'm not saying that the goal, first and foremost, of Orthodox Christianity is to build an empire. We're not primarily temporally oriented. But the most important thing here is a hierarchy of importance, putting things in their proper order. And that's something that we don't hear about in modern discourse. Everything is either ors. You're either into Jesus or you're into politics. You're either into this or you're into that. Well, why can't we have things in hierarchies of importance? Remember when J.D. Vance said something that was pretty common sense and obvious, right? The principle of subsidiarity. I care the most about those closest to me in terms of proximity. You can think about it in concentric circles. Do I care about what's happening in Africa, the Middle East, China? Sure, but that's not something that I can immediately affect. My immediate circles, my local county, city, etc., that's much more relevant and local. And so my love and attention and focus should first and foremost be on those people. Oh, well, I guess you hate all the people in China and you hate the people in Palestine. No, it's a degree of importance. It's a hierarchy of first and foremost, right? But everything is always cast in terms of these false either ors. Well, either you support what's happening in the Middle East and you talk about it every day, or you hate them. Well, what if I have priorities above that? What if Christianity, what if Orthodox Christianity is the priority above the politics? Does that mean I don't care about politics? I hate politics. I hate people involved. No, it's just silly. It's just retarded. It's just childish. And the discourse, the trolling, all this stuff that has emerged, by the way, by design. And if you remember, the NATO cognitive warfare documents talked about weaponizing trolling, that the emotional discourse that occurs on the internet actually causes people to become hypersensitive, reactionary, and put them into a state of going overboard. I'm not saying you can't post memes and be ridiculous. I do that all the time. But the discourse is becoming more and more toxic, more and more radical, more and more compartmentalized, in the sense of like people are choosing their sides. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, because we're forced to this situation. We are probably going to see a kind of disintegration of the West and a kind of returning to like. People are going to decide that, okay, I'm not welcome in these, you know, leftist cities. Maybe I need to stick to people who have the ideas and the ideology that I have. So people are, I think, going to start building communities around like-minded people. We're going to see people creating Christian villages, Christian societies, Christian communities. This is already beginning, where people are starting to, for example, create Orthodox Christian homesteads and villages with that kind of a mindset. And I'm sure other groups will do likewise. So this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's unfortunate, I guess, that we have to go into this kind of a situation. But the left, the establishment, they are forcing this. They are forcing people into these enclaves, and they're intentionally causing and creating this kind of radicalization. And it is what it is. It's not going to be stopped. But I would say it's very important not to fall for entrapment, not to fall for ridiculous idealistic schemes of, oh, let's go take Washington and we're going to destroy the government. We're going to set up a militia of a Christian patriot government. This kind of stuff could very easily turn into a honey trap, honeypot kind of operation. You know, before Charlottesville, I was telling the right-wing people to be careful. I wouldn't be directly involved in that. And lo and behold, that's what happened. I'm not saying it's wrong to protest. I'm just saying that these kinds of events are very easily coerced and seduced into being honey trap operations. And what do we know? Well, now J6 turns out, allegedly we have this identified Capitol Police woman who's now been recruited allegedly into the CIA, they say. Again, backing up the countless federal operatives that were in the crowd. It's just everything constantly more and more looks like what we always thought, that this was a kind of a planned operation. I'm not blaming people that went. I'm not saying that you're bad if you went and protested. I'm saying that you have to understand that the system is not as stupid as they often portray themselves. They are very cunning, and they will utilize every trick in the book to try to destroy and take down the awakening and the emerging reaction against this insane socialist leftist cult that has taken over the West, that has a stranglehold on the West. And it's not just Jews and Zionism, although they do play a key role in this power structure. They wouldn't be able to do that if they didn't have all the support from very powerful, very numerous numbers of leftists and individuals in the West. So it's a combined effort of people who have horrible, evil worldviews working together, cross purposes, to bring down America, to bring down Western civilization, and to implement this globo-homo technocracy that they are absolutely hell-bent on bringing in. And that's exactly what Changing Images of Man is all about. This was the kind of textbook that, you know, people at the Kissinger level, people at the Silicon Valley elite level, when they were going to Stanford, when they were taking their grad classes and studying international relations and studying world systems and world order, when they were doing their systems analysis studies and PhDs, this is the textbook that they use. There's a reason why this is $1,000 or $2,000 on Amazon and out of print. It's because it's not for everybody. This was not a textbook meant for you. You know, when you, if you're in college or in grad school, you know, your textbooks, even when they're new, they're like $200, $300, $400. It's crazy, right? This textbook in 1982 was probably $100, right? It wasn't meant for a mass audience, and mass audiences don't read these kinds of books anyway, right? Just like Tragedy and Hope. People say, why would they put it in a book? Well, that was not a book in the 1960s and 70s written for a mass audience. They could rest assured the masses are not going to read this book. So we have a unique situation where even though the masses don't read anymore, they are and are, can pick up on true information and what's really going on through the internet. And unfortunately, I think they're trying to destroy the internet. I think the internet is going to be flooded with just slop, AI slop everywhere. Everything's already been, you know, websites have been sort of de-emphasized and deflected through, you know, Google search and all that, to where now everybody's forced onto the major social media platforms, all of which is controlled through the algorithm. I was looking at my Instagram the other day and I noticed that I was never notified, or if it was, it was in some random notification that I never saw, that, well, actually my account was shadow banned for the last 3 years because I posted 3 years ago about Jeffrey Dahmer having a satanic altar that he built, which is true. It's admitted. But that violated the community guidelines. And the only reason I'm saying this is just that, well, I didn't even know. So my growth was stunted for 3 years because there was this hidden thing 5 pages deep into Instagram of posting something that isn't even a community guideline strike. So the algorithms are what control perception now. That's why it's absolutely essential to go to X, to follow Alex, go to X, follow Harrison, go to X, follow me. Go to my YouTube channel, follow it, turn on the notifications, because I lecture on this stuff and I've lectured on this stuff for 15 years now. And props to Alex for being such a trooper, such a pioneer in terms of waking so many people up. He's done a great service to humanity. We should thank God every day for Alex Jones, and pray for Alex Jones, and pray for this movement and for this awakening, that it doesn't get hijacked, that people don't act like complete retards and get honey trapped into the next stupid idea, because that's what the system has next. I guarantee you, like Alex says, they have to get some kind of big racially motivated thing, whatever that is, fake flag event, because they divide and conquer, right? Divide and conquer the Middle East with tribal religious ideas. Divide and conquer the Ukraine with Orthodox Christian ideas versus schismatic ideas. Divide and conquer America through what? What's America's weak point? Racial division, racial ideas going back to the Civil War. So watch out for America's color revolution, which will be race-based.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.